The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And finally, we have a regular week for PFW Progress. We'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No interruptions. This is the way it should be.
Well, it'll be a little interruption.
Why?
You got locker room on Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as the show programming.
Kind of locker room.
I might have to work from home on Thursday.
Where's he been?
Why?
A car drove through the daycare center out at my kid. Oh, goes
what?
His dad's car.
Luckily, it was on Sunday.
His dad's ailing.
Oh. What? We would have a side discussion. Oh.
What happened with you?
Yeah, a car drove through the daycare center on Sunday. Would have been tragic had it, you know.
Stop pounding
the table. Been Monday.
Don't you love when Fred turns into a professional out of nowhere?
I know.
What happened to the
he
driver?
Can do this and talk away from the mic and then come back to the mic. That's okay.
What happened to the driver?
He had a diabetic
seizure.
Whatever. Yeah, something.
Nobody. Was he hurt?
I believe he had to go to the hospital, but not seriously. But I mean, it would have killed.
Thank goodness it was.
There would have been like 12 babies in there. It was a baby room. It would have been like a tragedy.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 1-855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com.
Can I give out Japan?
I
like to give out one number, just
right,
one number.
Just give out Japan.
Okay, Japan, 00531161396. So Jason, Chiba, give us a call.
All right.
Don't get Japanese in
Fred,
a bunch.
Fred, you see our old enemy, Bo Pelini, is under fire.
I love that.
He got set,
he got set up.
Well, the
half
thing that happened
a
couple years ago is
that's a setup.
That's garbage, but he's created his own mess with, you know, his ineptitude.
Yes.
Right. I love
blowing
that.
A 21-3 lead at home, allowing the last 38 points of a game. Love it. Couldn't happen
to
a worse
guy. So we'll talk about Nebraska football a little later in the show, but...
It's a Patriots tie.
It's a Patriots
Dennard.
Tie.
So we have a lot to talk about. Patriots with a 13-10 win Thursday night. Seems like ages ago.
it does.
But we'll recap that. We'll recap the weekend, what we learned after week two in the NFL. And we'll look forward to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano, in a little bit of hot water down there. What are you laughing about?
Just your utter inability to pronounce anybody's name.
Even Darrell Revis now is saying
that
he's too strict. So
I think Darrell Revis was upset that he wants to play more man coverage. That was the only thing I saw about
Revis.
He's never happy.
Again, no, he's not.
Again, you know, this might be NFL.com again, but the headline is, you know, he was unhappy with his strictness. So I don't know. Could be NFL.com getting it wrong.
Or it was Revis.
But wasn't Freeman mad at him, too?
Well, Freeman, I think that's crossed the line to flat-out dislike.
That's a divorce.
Now, that was, you know, basically my whole premise in my preview was just how much static there seems to be between Schiano and Freeman. That's not going to last. Listen, it may not even last as long as this game.
So we're going to see Mike Glennon this
I think
weekend?
We have a chance to see Glennon. And certainly if...
That will entertain me. It could be an ugly game, and I'll have that.
But if he comes in,
the only thing is
if
he completes any passes, He'll stop doing Glennon. That because he'll be mad.
No, but
no,
think,
yeah, he'll be pounding the table.
I think all four of us, after the first one, we should do that for the whole press box. They'll love it.
Pass complete
by Glennon.
We really are just clowns. I'm a Muppet on TV. I'm doing slogans in the press box.
Just so people know, the backup quarterback for the Bucks is Mike Glennon, and then there was that old commercial, Menon.
By Menon.
By Menon. So we like to
speed
say,
stick.
By Glennon.
By Menon.
We are you.
So let's go back to the Jets Thursday
Andy had
night.
No idea what you were talking about.
Well, no, remember he screwed it up the first time?
Yeah.
What did I do?
You didn't deliver it properly the first time, and it kind of was mixed results. And then the next time you came back, by Glennon, and everybody was like, oh, that's good. And you cleaned it up, and you hit home with the second one.
So 13-10. Yeah.
I got it the first time.
But it wasn't as good.
For the sixth time, Fred's trying to get his sentence out.
13-10 win by the Patriots Thursday night.
Win?
It was an ugly, ugly game all around, made even uglier by a lot of rain in the second half.
And by the play on the field.
Yeah. What are you guys thinking about?
The play in the second half wasn't any worse than the play in the first half.
First of all, you know, what's on everyone's mind is the offense. And there was no improvement from week one to week two when it came to that.
Looked like it in the beginning.
Yeah, without Amendola. Yeah, without
and only a walkthrough. Like, yeah. You know, what did you expect to get done in walkthroughs and then, you know, no reps? I mean, this is the week where I think you legitimately say, you got to get your ass in order. Like, get things cleaned up with 10 days or whatever.
Well,
here.
Let's see some signs anyway. You know, it doesn't have to go from zero.
It's like, 98% completions and Brady. But, I mean, two weeks in a row, like, Tompkins was perfectly consistent. 4 of 14 in Buffalo, 2 of 7. Same percentage. He was the same guy. Dobson comes on and, you know, gets the, you know, who knows how great start. You know, I asked PR, and they don't really have a note on guys that their first catch ever was a touchdown, other than Gronkowski. You know, was the last Patriot to do it, but
they
first
did
game.
Have
Gronk's first ever catch was a touchdown, too?
According to the Patriots PR department.
They did have a stat. It was interesting. I forget what receiver it was, but his first three games with three different teams were all 10-catch, 100-yard games.
Anquan Boldin.
Was it Boldin? Yeah, right.
Yeah, two of them were 200-yard games.
Yeah.
His first game in Arizona and his first game 2 weeks ago.
But obviously that's a different set. Anyway.
Right. But, yeah, the passing game is the problem. But I don't think it's fair to expect that they would have had grand improvements between a Sunday and a Thursday.
That's a good point, Andy. And, you know.
Really. That's one of the reasons why.
But you know, in addition to that, you lost the most effective guy from the first game. The two most.
The guys who won you the game in Buffalo, one went on IR with a designation to return, and the other guy couldn't play.
Right.
So you even actually took a major step back from what you had in terms of talent, and the rookies were more in the forefront.
So what you're saying is we shouldn't be at all surprised with what happened Thursday night offensively.
Oh, but that's assuming that you weren't surprised with what happened on the opening Sunday.
Because
I was.
No,
I can't be a fraud. I was stunned.
Right,
but from week one to week two,
right.
No, I don't think you should have been overly surprised that it was ugly. I don't. And the Jets have a decent defense. They have some decent schemes. They have a guy who knows what you like to do. So, no, I don't think you should have been surprised.
Do you guys normally...
I'll be surprised if they continue to suck this week. Really suck.
Do you guys normally watch a Thursday night game if it's not our game?
I check in.
Depends on who plays.
Like, you don't sit there for the whole time.
Like, so, I wouldn't have watched that one.
Right. Like, do you get a sense, though, that the Thursday night games are typically bad?
Yes.
Yeah, they're the last. They get the last pick of the primetime games.
Because, well, but, I
no,
mean,
but he's talking.
I'm
about
talking about
the caliber of game,
the caliber
like,
of play
like the
in the
play.
Game.
The teams play
regardless
well,
of who the teams
because
are.
Because of the short weekend.
Yeah,
early.
And yeah. I would say that typically it is not a very well played game. It's generally ragged games, and they I think would get worse as the season goes on.
Which is why
it's not really an excuse in week one for it to be like that. The way the Patriots and Jets played, but. Eric's point, I think, is dead on. Thursday night games tend to be dogs because it's just not, you're not meant to play 4 days after you play. I mean, if they could somehow work it so everybody that played in those Thursday night games was coming off a bye, and you could do that, you know, if you just had the Thursday night games between, say, week four and week 13 or whatever
just
the buys.
Thanksgiving.
Whenever the buys have. No, but I'm saying if you're insisting on having this money grab, which is, let's call it what it is, that's what it is.
Sure.
Eric is exactly right.
But
it's
then
a terrible
not everybody would
game.
Have a Thursday night game, right?
Right.
Well, you might be able to work
out
like
the way
everyone
they've sold it
to
coaches. It seems like, well, but is like everybody has to do it.
Like Paul said, everyone has to have a bye.
Right.
So if everyone has to have a bye, try to work it so that your Thursday night game.
Yeah, but then you'd either have to start byes in week one or week two, whatever.
Yeah, you can't
earlier
do it
in the year.
You could do that,
or not everybody would have.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that before. They've started. New England actually started a season on a bye one year. I forget what year it was, but
yeah,
it was an oddity.
Yeah.
But my point is, like what you were saying, Paul, my point is, if the quality of football is so bad week to week on a Thursday,
it does not lend
it doesn't behoove the NFL to have a Thursday night game on a regular basis.
I think it's a bigger issue for a team like the Patriots that isn't that good right now, doesn't know what they are. Like, I think the 2007 Patriots probably would have come out and scored 40 points because they were that good. They were still fresh early in the year.
Right.
I think the difference is this team is kind of finding itself, and they had no time to find themselves that week. It was crap after crap.
Well, and a lot of teams are in the same boat, maybe not as drastic as the Patriots on offense now, but early Thursday night games are going to be like that. You know, week one, week two Thursday night games might have that tendency to be sloppy like that. And so that contributed to, you know, the type of game we saw as well.
But let's not just gloss over that the passing game is struggling right now.
Oh, like, no doubt.
Because, like I said, I can't just all of a sudden change my tune from the last 4 months. I was stunned with how bad it was in the first game. And it was even worse in the second game. Now, there are some...
Yeah, remember when Paul used to say, somebody's going to catch the pass? Well, they're not.
Well, they have, but
not
just,
really.
Just not scored any points. I thought they would
when
score
Brady's
some points.
When Brady's, like, completing 50% of his passes, that's not good. Tebow could do that.
No, he
Tebow could go... pretty close, 47. Tebow could go six straight series with a punt, like Tom Brady did, or those types of numbers.
So he couldn't have completed 50% in opening day, I'll tell you that. Because Brady didn't have any open guys to throw to in that Buffalo game. But, you know, we could certainly branch off into that later. But I can't just all of a sudden change my tune and say, oh, yeah, no, you could see this coming. I shouldn't be surprised. No, I'm very surprised. Based on what I saw in the summer and what I thought, I'm very surprised with how bad it's been in the first two games, passing-wise.
But would you have been as surprised if you knew that Amendola was going to get hurt?
No, because I had a good idea that would happen, too. I mean, I know I'm not allowed to call him injury-prone, but I had an idea he would be missing time.
Can we just get Mike Salk on the phone? Because that's who Paul is fighting with. He's fighting with Mike Salk, although Mike Salk's not here to hear it and defend himself.
Yeah.
So just argue with Mike Salk. Get him on
the
line.
I'm not arguing with anybody.
You're arguing with Mike Salk.
I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm simply saying that I can't be fraudulent and say now, after the fact, that I'm surprised when I didn't expect, you know, that I didn't, I mean, that I'm not surprised when I expected it to be much better.
If you knew that the top receiver in terms of experience was going to be Julian Edelman, would you have been surprised?
I thought he would be one of the two top receivers. I thought Amendola would be in
was.
There. I thought he would be in there the first two games. I mean, I didn't think he would get hurt this fast.
No, you know what, Fred?
No, I
kind of agree with you. I was expecting Amendola, Dobson / Tompkins, either one of those guys, to be the top couple of players. I thought Edelman would be in the mix, though.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect him to be the...
Leading the NFL in receptions?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Well, tied. He's got 20. Geez.
Last in yards. Well, not technically.
Now he's fighting Julian Edelman.
On a good note, on a wet day, even though he only had, what, 16 carries? I'm not sure. But Ridley did not cough up the ball.
He tried.
Came close.
Toss and he
came close.
Triple caught it.
Although, you know, people, I still don't understand people saying they should have run him more. He came out as a hot runner. He did? After those two runs.
Him? Who's he
now he's fighting with Andy Gresh, I
who's
believe.
He arguing?
No, I'm well, that and whoever.
No, but yeah.
Even on the blog. Why? Where's Vereen? They couldn't run
on IR,
the Jets.
They needed to return.
Well, it's a separate issue. Whether Ridley started hot or not, okay, forget that. Why can't they run the ball? When the passing game, we knew was going through something here, and they have an offensive line that is making a lot of money, has draft picks, has talked about wanting to run better. Why can't they run better?
Well,
I don't care that the Jets have Muhammad Wilkerson and whoever.
They did
why
the
can't
same
we line
thing
up and
Doug
run?
Martin the week before.
No, this isn't okay. So we're just saying the offensive line isn't that good.
Well, I'm
when
saying,
they face good
I'm
people, they
some
can't
credit
do it.
To the Jets.
I'll say that.
I'm giving some
so then
credit
we've misspent whatever $100 million we've spent and first and second round picks.
But
it's not that good.
That's another thing I can't be fraudulent about. You know, as much as I love Logan Mankins, I didn't think they should have made him the highest paid guard in football.
We talked about this yesterday. This offensive line, when you look at it, and it, you know, when you look at the tackles, you're talking 6'6" or above tackles who really, I think they're there to protect Tom Brady more than they are to road grade.
Right.
I'm
they're
not
set up for the passing game.
Right. I think that line, especially in the outside, is set up to protect Brady. And I'm not sure if it's a run type of line.
The only part of the team not set up for a good passing game is the receivers.
Yeah. Now, I know Mankins is
he's allowed to be smart. Yeah. Evidently, you and I were not allowed to do that.
Mankins
Fred.
Is a high priced guard, but I think he could
no
road grade.
I think he might be the best guard in football. That's not my point. I'm saying to Andy's point, we put a first round pick at left tackle, a second round pick at right tackle, who we just re-signed.
Three of our top ten cap numbers.
And we re-signed our left guard. You know, and Andy was saying, I think, you know, fairly, is this money well spent? You know, did you need to put that much investment
into an
offensive line that might be better suited just to do one thing? I think there's a legitimate argument to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did a little research, by the way, that I found interesting. I effed it up on Twitter, just so everybody knows. I'm correcting it now verbally, as I did on Twitter. But in 2006, which is what everybody points to as the last sort of redo at receiver, post-branch, post-get, that whole thing. First two games, Tom Brady completed exactly 50% of his passes, had 483 yards passing, an 85 rating, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Through these two games, he's completing 52% of his passes, 473 yards, just 10 yards less, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 74 rating. So very similar start to the two redo years. Now, the big difference is he only threw 52 passes in 06. He's thrown 91 passes this year, nearly double.
And that's the stat to me that really illustrates the differences between 2006 and 2013 in the NFL. I'm not blaming this on Brady. It's a different game.
And then the other... If you take that further, he didn't complete more than 50% of his passes, like into the 60s, until his sixth game of the season that year. That was also the first game in which he had a 100 passer rating. Took a little bit there.
And then Cold Hard Football Facts had a column today about...
Passing game's fine?
No, about how...
usually what they do.
You know,
he can fight with people just randomly.
You know, we complain that they weren't able to win a street fight since 2007, and now... They're back to being the type of team in 2003 where every week is going to be a grind.
If they do that against good teams, I'll give them credit. Not against
street
poop
fights,
bum teams.
And this will prepare them better for those types of games.
This is ridiculous.
See, now here's what my counter to that would be. And I'll ask you, Fred. Did you think that Thursday night was a street fight?
No.
I didn't either. I just thought it was just sloppy, bad football. Between two bad teams.
Worst game
that
I've ever
night.
Seen.
That night, they, you know, the Patriots might
one
end up
not the worst. You know, I think it's the worst in terms of dropped passes and
I can't recall
crap on the
both
field.
Teams playing so ineffectively.
Clyde Gates, the worst, game. Second worst,
you know,
football player I've ever seen, behind
Sergio Brown.
You mentioned the games in 2003. There was a 12-0 game against the Cowboys, a 12-0 game against Miami. I believe in a blizzard.
Yeah, but that was good defense by New England in those games.
Exactly.
Totally
Eric is
different.
Right. It's not all low scoring games are created equal. I mean the
not all low scoring games are against rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
You know,
well,
you're the first team in 55 years to open with two straight rookie quarterbacks. Maybe three, by the way.
You know,
and I gotta guess that'll take it back to like the 30s before a team did that.
Or maybe never.
Don't worry, it's coming. Deshaun Goldson. It's all falling into place.
So if they beat the Bengals in a dogfight. Okay, now I'll give you credit.
The
it's a playoff
you go, to, you
team.
Go to Atlanta and win 17-13.
But I'm picking a team.
That's a street fight.
The Bengals are built for a street fight. They have a big, tough defense. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some aspects of their team. If you beat them, okay, I'll give you credit. Now we've turned back the clock. But you beat two rookie quarterbacks and two teams that weren't very good.
Right.
Right? I mean, I don't give you credit for anything.
It's really too early to make any types of sweeping judgments. Like, we were laughing today because somebody wrote that they believe the NFL has passed the AFC North by.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, home of the Super Bowl champions.
Right.
Yeah, I assume that the inference on
that
is that they're all running teams from a bygone era. And then I watched the Monday night game last night, and Andy Dalton threw the ball 45 times, and Ben Roethlisberger threw it 37, despite the fact that Pittsburgh really never had the ball in the game.
Downfield a lot, too. I mean, just flinging.
I mean, neither team had any interest in running the football at all until the last half of the fourth quarter. Cincinnati ran the clock out with Benny. In the four-minute offense. But before that, Andy was actually saying, geez, I like that Bernard kid. I'd like to see him get some more carries for the Bengals. Looks like he has a burst. He never got the ball because they throw it every play.
Right.
You know, so, like, I don't really understand. What do you – okay, they're off to a subpar start as a division. Cleveland's 0-2, Pittsburgh's 0-2, and Baltimore is a very unimpressive 1-1 with a 14-6 win over Cleveland, although – You always say those division games you never know.
Absolutely.
And we saw the Cincinnati game last night, not awe-inspiring for a team that some think is a Super Bowl contender, Cincinnati, you know, certainly didn't look like anything special last night. But I don't know why that's passing, you know, why, you know, the game is passing that division by. Do you?
No.
Is that going to be around the NFL
today
on the show?
Joe Flacco's the highest played quarterback in the league.
Well, and not only that, I mean, just as a point of fact, we're two games removed from an AFC North team having won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, again, I don't know who said that. I don't know who I'm arguing with,
What's
Andy.
What's going on, buddy? We got Mayflower Moving coming in.
I think they're going to put our TV back up.
Oh, okay.
That was over there.
Can we wait till after the show?
But, well, John Rook does have a show, too.
Andy, I didn't know exactly who I was arguing with on that. I just wanted to say that one quick. I don't know who made that comment.
Fred, can you name the two people in the American Football Conference? No, actually, in the NFL, sorry, who have a lower completion percentage than Tom Brady? There's only two.
That have a lower complete.
Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel.
No.
Oh, no, sorry. Josh Freeman and E.J. Manuel.
Who's the Jaguars Geno quarterback?
Smith. Blaine Gabbert and E.J. Manuel. And they actually luck out because, I'm guessing because Gabbert maybe, but whoever. There's 33 guys listed because at this early
point.
And
Gabbert
only
played one game,
right? And that's also the big difference. Gabbert is 33rd in attempts. Brady is 4th in attempts and 31st in completion percentage.
Wow. Oh, is it Geno?
No, it's
because Manuel is up at 61.9.
Yeah, no, it's Gabbert and Freeman, like you said.
Well, you Gabbert Freeman. And Freeman.
Blaine
okay.
Gabbert. Yeah.
But can you imagine that? Like, we're discussing Tom Brady's numbers in comparison to Josh Freeman and Blaine Gabbert, two guys who won't have a job in about a week. Actually, Gabbert may not have one now that Henny's replaced him because
of
injury.
Well, the other thing we need to talk about, and calls are starting to stack up, so I want to get to them, but this whole thing about Brady and how he is – you know, communicating with his young receivers. And, you know, even Brady after the game said, you know, I need to work on my body language a little bit and all that stuff, and said that he has to be patient with these guys. Then now, of course, there's the, you know, the other side saying, you know, if these guys can't handle being yelled at, then they shouldn't be in the NFL.
I love those tough
guys. I don't think that's the point. The point is not that they're being yelled at. The point is if that's all he's doing,
right,
eventually – it's not like they're going to cry. It's they're going to tune them out.
Yeah, F you.
That's what you don't want to have happen. They're men too. So you don't want to have them tune him out eventually, which, look, obviously none of us have gone to the level of athletics that these guys have.
Well,
but we've all played sports with all different types of coaches. I've had enough different types of coaches in different sports to know that they come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. And you know, some of them screamed at you. Some of them took a different approach. But there was that one or two guys that, you know, would scream at you, but you liked it because he knew what he was talking about. And then there was the guy that screamed at you that you tuned out because he was an idiot. You know,
oh, they screamed just to scream.
Just to scream. Right. And after a while, it became just noise.
Noise, right.
You know, and I'm not saying that Brady doesn't know what he's talking about, but, you know, guys are different. And, you know, yeah, I think
and
that
different
if you,
people
if,
respond
if
to
you
that.
Get
right.
Screamed
Parcells
at all.
Used to, you know, talk about having to push buttons, and he was
right.
the master.
Some guys,
yells, some guy coddles, and I think as a quarterback, there's some of that when you're divvying out the balls and dealing with these. I mean, you think they're all weird, Fred? Receivers by nature
are
a different.
And I actually
group.
Agree with Fred on that. I think they're a different breed.
As a
Brandon
quarterback,
White's an actor now, by the way.
He can act like a common human being now, and you know, treat people with some respect.
But pushing the buttons is saying knowing who the guy is that you're talking to, you know, and
knowing
and,
how he responds.
Yeah,
to
what's
going to
motivate this guy? Because that's what Brady needs to do. He needs to motivate these guys, not scold them.
Was it good for him to admit that after the game?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, he actually kind of admitted it before the game too, in one of his what was it last Tuesday, I think.
When he compared him to his 3-year-old child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Yeah,
was
that's not condescending.
No,
I didn't like that comment.
But he was
of course
addressing,
they do catch like
he was addressing the issue is what I'm.
And then you know I forget who I was listening to Diassi yesterday and I forget who he was with, but you know somebody said, which again I disagree with. You know, if it's a physical mistake, then you know you can live with that. But if it's a mental mistake, that's it. You're out. No, they're both the same. They're both part of playing the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to give a guy a break
on
physical and hope he gets better, mental is the same way. On the other hand, either you can do it physically or you can't.
Right.
And you can do it mentally or you can't.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
But mentally, like you could also say, you know, some days mentally you're just not with it.
Right.
You know, something's going on at home or whatever.
We've seen signs that, Eric, we've seen you do it, so we know you can.
Right.
So we're going to work with you.
Right.
That's different than this guy's an idiot. He's never going to get it.
Sure.
Okay, get rid of him.
Well, the point that should have been reached was a long time ago.
Right.
You were deciding where they should be on the team. They're on your team now. You have to live with it. So you've decided that they have the mental aptitude to deal with this.
Right.
So you have to work through it.
Right.
But I like the way Fred sort of, you know, he combines the two, that they're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
No.
It's just like, you know, if you go down and, you know, 15 yards and you turn in and the ball comes and hits you in the hands and you drop it, obviously you didn't drop it on purpose. So you say, well, I can put up with a physical mistake. The guy caught it. Well, it's the same thing if you go down 15 yards and turn out when you should have turned in. You didn't do it on purpose. You misread the coverage.
Right.
Same thing. If you drop it consistently, you're out. If you're making the wrong cut consistently, you're out.
Right.
You've proven that you can't mentally grasp what you're supposed to do.
But we're not to that the out, you're out part.
Absolutely not.
Because A, it's too early, and B, there's no options. So on two levels, you can't just sit them down.
You literally
can't do like the Ridley. You have running backs. Okay, so I could sit Ridley and say you're done for the day. You don't have the receivers or weapons to say you blew three routes in a row. You're sitting down. You just don't have it. Now Matthew Slater is reportedly dealing with a broken wrist, and he could be out up to 6 weeks. I mean,
I don't know what we're going to talk about in the pregame social this week.
Yeah, no more.
Hour and 45 minutes, and Matthew Slater should get some run at wide receiver talk last week.
When Boyce couldn't even get some run
really?
At wide receiver.
Yes. They were killing Andy.
Yeah, they were.
Andy was just exploding.
Well, because I was, wow. I mean, ridiculousness of that comment to ask for Matthew Slater. Great man, well, great special
I can see somebody
Sorry.
Asking that, but you talked about it for an hour and 45 minutes?
Maybe a little
It
long,
came up a lot. Let's
wow.
It
came up
way.
Much more often than it should have. Should have come up once. I shot it down. We'll move on.
But, you know, now there is something to be said, and I heard someone say that, you know, the Patriots haven't developed a young receiver since Deion Branch. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's true. It could be. You know, it's not like they haven't
had Edelman.
Yeah,
you developed Edelman.
Okay, that's a good point.
Problem is, and
but I think Edelman's special, not just as a receiver. I think he's a special as a football player. I think he's one of those Troy Brown type of, you know,
he has proven
he just
it.
Knows how to play.
When
football.
He came in as a defensive back against Philly,
we just continued to absolutely
couple years
slap
ago.
Troy Brown around so disrespectful.
It's not, but it's not an ability thing, Paul. It's a mental thing with him,
and
he gets it.
Physically, he can do it too. Like when he came in as a D back against Philly. A couple of seasons ago, he was, and that was during the run when the New England defense was some of the worst tackling I've ever seen, back when they had the likes of Brandon Merriweather and those types.
Was that Detroit in week 3 of the preseason?
Oh. Well, even worse than that. He was the best tackler on the field that day.
Much so that a guy who now makes a living as an expert analyst on the NFL Network said his future was more at defensive back than it was at wide receiver. That's Ian Rappaport,
the crap
sheet,
in case anybody was wondering.
But the point is, I think that Edelman is a smart...
Puff, stuffed, fluff?
Is
he
a
has
smart
no idea.
Football player. I think Troy Brown was a smart football player. You know, Troy Brown, you know...
Yeah, but that's the issue. You brought in dumb football players then.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
To me, it's a scouting problem, because none of these guys have gone in and have success anywhere else. Taylor Price, nothing. Bethel
Chad
Johnson,
Jackson.
Nothing. Chad Jackson, nothing. Brandon Tate is a returner. Yeah. None of the guys you brought in went on to have success. So it's not like you didn't develop them and then, woo, they blew up when they got out of your hard system.
That's another good
point. We were sold.
So it's a scouting problem or a bill problem or whatever.
On Chad Jackson, we were sold that football intelligence was one of the reasons why they felt like they were getting a steal. When they did.
Yeah. That's like somebody
he came in and he was drawing up the plays.
Setting you up on a date and telling you the great personality. There's a reason they're leading with that.
Yeah.
It's not true.
You know, your part about the Brady body language and all that stuff. And I'm all for, you know, the quarterback needs to be in charge. And I'm not one of these guys that the quarterback can never sort of go over and give it to a receiver when he's not doing the right thing. I just thought that it was a little bit over the top the other night.
Who was he giving it to?
I think
that's
Tom thought the same thing, too.
I agree with you. Give it to a guy. Who is he giving it to? He's giving it to
But I think that people look at it and they say, I don't want to see the quarterback. He's showing them up. No, it's not necessarily like that. Sometimes it can be constructive. But the play in the end zone, for example, when it looked like maybe he was expecting Dobson to sort of sit down in that little zone there underneath and he would have been open.
Wide open!
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's right.
He said.
He did. Yeah, he yelled that. Wide open. I think he was venting to Edelman, or Edelman was just happened to be nearby.
Yeah, that's, like, but that's like, even worse. It's almost like it's almost
but
like
Edelman was ignoring him. McDaniels right. was ignoring him.
And that's Andy's
him.
Point. Like, it was almost like it was passive aggressive. If you have a problem, go
yell
over
at
and
him.
Sit down and the guy.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it have been more constructive to say, "Listen, Aaron, we've gone over this. We know this is when you see this look. This is what you need to do. You should have known.
I'd also
where you needed
feel
to
better
be.
If
and
I
you
were
don't
Dobson.
Have to say it nicely.
Right.
You could yell.
I'd feel better if
I
were Dobson if he grabbed me by the collar and said, "Listen, we've done it 10 times. Sit down in the bleeping zone."
But I
just yelling.
But my, my problem was with every play that didn't connect was the gestures with the hands. It was almost like
well, we made fun
I'm
of
letting,
Manning for years.
Doing I'm
that.
Letting every guy. I've never seen Manning do that. Dan Marino
well,
used to do it all the
Dan
time.
Dan Marino was the
oh, Marino.
Marino was
Dan
the
Marino
worst.
Used to do it all. I've never
no
seen Peyton
incompletion
Manning
was his fault.
15-20 times in a game with the hands up in the you know like maybe once or twice, but not like that. And
usually
you know,
the Manning face comes at his own expense.
It,
like,
does,
you know.
Does Julian Edelman come back after he beats the guy like a drum on that play in the first series and he overthrows him
right.
by 15
exactly.
yards?
Exactly. That would have been
and
a touchdown.
Throw his hands up in the air and say, "What are you doing, Tom?
Yeah.
How
right.
did you miss me?"
Right.
You know, did Ryan Wendell, you know, call him out for fumbling a snap?
Now, that'd be
that would have been funny too. The center turns around and just like,
no, well, I mean, how
we
about,
didn't fumble.
You, know,
you did.
You know, part,
go
part
take
of,
a lap.
Part right. of we had nothing to do with that fumble, Tom. No.
Like, but it's also different.
It, no, listen.
I mean, Brady
all,
has reached a certain
different.
Point where he's a borderline coach. He's the veteran,
and that's why I'm saying
there's
I don't
a
have a I don't have a problem with him addressing Dobson. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the pass is incomplete. We all saw that it got dropped, Tom. We all saw that you put the ball where it needed to be, Tom. You don't have to let all 68,000 people here at Gillette Stadium know you did it all right, Tom, and the receiver didn't come through and make the catch that he should have made. That's
a question
that's
for you.
The only problem that I had with
would
it.
That have played out differently if Bill O'Brien were still the offensive coordinator?
Oh, I think that particular altercation you're talking about would have gotten nipped in the bud quickly by
yeah, I think so too.
By a guy who's got a hotter head than I do.
Would have told him, sit down and shut up. We'll take care of this.
Which, right, by the way, they lost to Central Florida this week. This could be the year
oh, really?
Starts to catch up
uh-oh.
To them.
Maybe he should have taken that that other
what do you think he was? I mean, he clearly was looking for a job last year.
Yeah. All right,
he could have had
Cornhusker and Nittany Lion talk.
They lost 34-31 at home.
You know what I was just thinking stupidly? Like, Alfonso Dennard has been treated with kid gloves by the court system, and he just keeps getting bumped off, and
right.
you know, now it's
shouldn't even be this.
December 5th or something.
That's for one, but he still has to go back in October for the DUI.
But wouldn't it be funny if, because Bo Pelini's being such an a-hole, he pisses off all these people, and they say, fine, I'm going to start treating Cornhuskers like regular people, and Dennard somehow pays for it because Bo Pelini's pissing everybody off.
Bo Pelini. That was funny, though. Did you listen to that?
Yeah.
Oh, I just read it. I didn't actually
listen
to it.
Yeah, I heard it.
I listened to it.
SportsCenter.
It was kind of weird.
It was.
Like, it didn't really even make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, he was mad at the fans and mad at everybody.
I didn't get, I saw it came in at the very beginning, so I was thinking, who's he arguing with?
Arguing with.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500. Eddie is in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? When it comes to the offense, I'm like Bill. It is what it is.
Yeah, not good.
I know, but what is it going to be?
Is it?
What is
it
going
is.
To be by the end of the season?
Yeah, but come on, guys. Tom Brady. I don't know. Maybe he gets it together right now. I got a question and a point about the defense. When it comes to, you know, can you guys name another defense in the league that I don't know, just isn't as aggressive as the Patriots? They just don't seem like they are very... That's not seven. You know, watching the game last night, you see Cincinnati just really aggressive. Can you think of another defense that isn't like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're very game plan oriented, and if you want to call it conservative, I could see you saying that because they don't take a lot of chances.
But the one thing I will say, and I mean, it's a work in progress. It's all early, all this, but. You did notice A, Chandler Jones bumping inside last week, and B, them running more twists. And I talked to him a little bit about that this week. Maybe that's going to be kind of a growing trend where they're doing a little bit, not all out blitzes, but being a little different than just rushing four
and tackle.
That,
I think we as fans, we look at a Pittsburgh game, we see Polamalu like doing crazy stuff, and we're like, well, who's doing that on the Patriots?
I think Bill would say, if I had Troy Polamalu, I'd play Troy Polamalu.
I was just going to say, not everyone's Troy Polamalu.
He doesn't Steve Gregory.
He doesn't not have a Troy Polamalu for lack of trying. He drafts a safety high every year.
You know?
Yeah, but it's just that another point, guys. Let me ask me this. With linebackers as big as they are, it seems like they should be playing downhill more often because they're so big. They shouldn't be covering anybody.
Yeah, I mean, people keep telling me that Hightower's had a good start to the season. I think
his last game was the best game he had since last year when he got hurt in Buffalo.
And I'm not trying to be like argumentative on that. And I did not notice him in one play. I honest to God did not notice one play.
I think he should be an impact guy, and I have yet to see an impact.
He had a nice play in coverage where he had a tackle for loss.
Yeah.
He did.
And Eddie just laughed at you.
I'm with Eddie.
one play.
No, he covered well. I thought he had his best
game. They covered well?
Yeah, he had his best game.
They did not cover well.
He had his best game since Buffalo when he got hurt last year. That was his best game.
Now, that might be a sad indictment of him.
Yeah. And what did it measure on the Richter scale? Thanks. Blip.
Wow.
Thanks, Eddie.
Another Falcon goes on IR. This one is IR DFR.
That's because they're going to play the Patriots soon.
Well, they've definitely
linebacker Sean Weatherspoon.
They've screwed this up because they obviously didn't. They thought they were playing the Patriots this week.
Danny is in Orlando. Hey,
now they
Danny.
Have time to prepare for that.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's that smell?
Well, before I get into my little spiel, I noticed you guys were talking about Bo Pelini top of the hour. What's the beef against Bo? I guess I missed it.
Bo Pelini was the linebackers coach with the Patriots in 1999. Under Pete Carroll, my first year, and he was not very nice to the staff of PFW.
Oh, really?
Just leave it like that. He didn't like us.
He didn't understand our objectivity.
Well, then to hell with him.
Thank you. Thanks, Danny.
Yeah, no problem. So I kind of want to do something a little different. Been listening to you guys for years. Really appreciate your work. Just got a few questions for each of you guys. First one's Fred. I guess this is kind of calm down Patriots Nation, but I got a little sentence here that I wanted you to go ahead and finish. The Patriots will be fine because fill in the blank.
The Patriots will be fine because well, there's a lot of reasons. Gronk's coming back. Amendola's going to be fine.
That's what I wanted to do.
By the time everything's rolling, Shane Vereen will be back in the mix. So it is going to be fine. And
do you have any others?
And the defense is not a fluke. It really has improved.
Okay, now that's one that I could.
I agree with you on the defense. Yeah.
I don't, but I mean, I could definitely. I could that one
shocker.
Well, I'll reserve judgment until they play a team with an offense.
Right. All right. That's all fair. No,
because I don't. I don't think they've looked that good shutting down bad teams.
We can't make a judgment yet.
Best defensive player for the Patriots was Clyde Gates.
We can't.
Well, that's my point.
He had more pass defenses than the team combined.
We can't make a judgment yet.
The other three things don't get me all excited as a Patriots fan, because I'm not sure.
They haven't even diagnosed the injury for Amendola yet, and Fred says,
I'm not sure Amendola's fine. I'm not sure Gronk's going to be fine when he gets back, and Vereen's going to miss seven more games.
I mean, I love Amendola. He's a tough guy, but the guy's made out of porcelain, so I don't know.
Very tough porcelain, though.
Yeah. My next question is actually for Andy. Now, I understand you played linebacker when you were in high school, so you have a little understanding on the position.
Played?
Very little.
Very little. Okay, well, you kind of touched on it just before my call, but I wanted to actually ask you about Hightower's progression is last year and this year. I don't know if you see any progression or it is what it is now, or do you see any potential upside for him? And my second question to that is, would you re-sign Brandon Spikes as to what you've seen up until this point?
Well, that one would be the money. You know, I have no problem with Brandon Spikes being on the field as, you know, when you're in your base defense. I think he's a good player in the middle of the field. I think he's a prototypical middle linebacker. I like him. Now, they're not playing him a lot. They're playing a lot of nickel, so he's out. So then I wouldn't give him any money.
Cover.
But I don't think any of them can cover. I think they all chase. That's the one thing I've just been disappointed in. I don't think Hightower is as athletic and speedy as he thinks he is. You know, he likes to talk about, and everybody, like, you know, a guy my size covering people. Yeah, a guy your size chasing three steps behind people, just like Adalys Thomas did, just like every coverage linebacker, I think, quote unquote, in the NFL does. Very few of them, to me, can cover. I just don't think it's part of their abilities at their size and, you know, given the athlete. I mean, Jimmy Graham versus any of these guys, that's ridiculous. The guy's a Division I basketball player, lanky, Aaron Hernandez, even Gronk. They're physically not as good an athlete. And that's not their fault.
Right.
It's the fault of the coaches who drop schemes and say, okay, you're going to cover him. No, I'm not, because I can't.
Yeah, this game is being played more and more in space as we go on. The game is just completely changing.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it's like I don't like Mike changed. Lombardi, but 5 years ago when he told me it's basketball on turf now is all it is. It's what it is.
I mean, it used to be you had two wide receivers and you covered them, and now you have four guys you have
and
to
your
cover.
Tight end also was a dominating blocker and a long snapper, and occasionally he went out for a pass.
There's always
Paul got excited about Mike Bartram or whatever. That was a tight end.
Mike.
whatever. Now it's different now. They're athletes. These are the power forwards. These are some of your better athletes on the field are your tight ends.
You like that story?
That guy from Denver that just emerged out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Pretty much LeBron James playing on football.
Exactly. And you're supposed to ask all these other guys who are 270 pounds and aren't as good an athlete to cover them. I just don't think it's fair. And, you know, the other aspect is I don't think Hightower can make a career going backwards. I haven't seen whether he can make a career going forwards either, as a pass rusher, as an impact player at the line of scrimmage, which he was also sold to us as. So I don't know what Dante Hightower is right now. I don't think
he
knows.
You're going to see.
Okay, maybe. He's coming off his greatest game ever as a Patriot. You're way on the bandwagon. I love it. I hope he's getting better. We'll see.
I hope Chandler Jones' dancing gets better, because did you guys see him celebrate after one of his sacks?
Yeah. I asked him about it. I said, did you plan that? He said, no. I said, maybe you should.
There's a lot of ad-lib going on there. So, awesome. All right. So, I just wanted to go ahead and end this call with an over-under game. I don't know if you guys are...
Heck yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Amendola plays 7 games this season.
Over.
Gronk has 10 touchdown receptions.
I'm going to say under on that. Gronkowski, 10.
Over.
I'm going to say over on 10 touchdown catches for Gronk.
If he doesn't, it won't be all okay.
He'll be like Fred said.
You think they force-fed Edelman the other day? Wait 2 weeks before when
Plus,
Gronk
you
is
can
back
really force-feed him. He's tall. You can just throw it. You know, Ben coats it in there.
Yeah.
Just throw it.
I'll say over for Gronk TDs.
Okay.
I'm worried about Amendola, though.
Yeah, Amendola, that's I might have to push.
What was that?
That's what I say. I say push on that, too.
Yeah, that to me, that's a huge disappointment if he only plays 7 games. That's very poor to me.
If you want to get more than 7 games out of him, maybe we shouldn't have him going running through the bags.
Maybe you should have resigned
at a useless practice on a Monday.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Brady throws 12 interceptions.
Over.
I'm going to say under on that. That's about where he gets.
I'm
going
to say over.
Yeah,
I'm
saying
over.
That's about
over.
Where he gets, yeah. I think
it's remarkable. He only has 1 in the first 2 games.
He'll have like 15, 16.
That's what I said.
Wow. If he does 15 or 16, then.
But they won't necessarily be Brady's fault.
No, I know, but they'll
be. No, but that's the
passing,
problem.
Yeah, passing. I mean, it'd be like the other day. I wouldn't necessarily put the other day all on Brady.
Mm-mm.
But that would be a bad indictment
of
the passing game.
But not all of it.
Okay. Ridley rushes for 1,200 yards.
Way under.
Way under? Okay, that's what I thought, too. And if he keeps fumbling, that might be an issue. Wow. I don't know. Got a little case of the David Wilsonitis.
Yeah, he might.
And the last one, Pats win 11 games.
Under.
Everybody's under?
No, Paul hasn't answered, and Fred's got the over.
I'm sticking with 12.
I'm going to stick with 12 right now.
I'm going to do a push.
Okay.
I think you're probably
All right, Danny.
Right.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
Eric actually has 4
Let's
wins.
Go down.
Eric is there halfway to their season.
Eric has gone from 9
I've
down to 5.
I've stayed with 9. I have not. That's inaccurate.
Let's go to Delaware where Tyrone is on the line. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good.
Yeah, I want to, Paul, I heard you guys are just talking.
Don't drown.
That's my main point. Paul, I brought it up. Tom Brady, I'm very disappointed in him acting like a little child on the sideline. You know, I understand that the wide receivers, matter of fact, that's what you got anyway. So by you going on like that, because there are people, parents watching, and they don't want him showing up. I understand they made mistakes and they dropping balls, but you doing that, you make it nothing better. It's not making nothing better. And on top of that, if anybody you're supposed to be mad at, it's only 2 persons, Kraft and Belichick. Because you shouldn't have been in that position to begin with. So, you know, I don't understand why he was doing that. I was really disappointed because that don't help matters no way.
Yeah,
another
okay.
thing I wanted to bring up with the Amendola thing. People, you know, I've been listening, and people have been, like, scared not to call him injury prone. And, yes, he's a good player, but he's injury prone.
But there's one guy in the radio, but I think everyone here.
Well, there's a lot of our listeners that
really
bristled at that. All you don't think we got calls on that all offseason?
I mean, we hope
he
that
had
from
two.
This
he had two fluke injuries,
not, but he has been injury prone.
He's prone to injury,
right? We hope that stops, and it can. But
I was getting injured. He was getting injured all the time. He's injury prone too. So I mean, it is what it is. You can't cut around it.
No, we agree with you, Tyrone. There, I mean, there's no argument here.
West Welker thing. You know what? I'm happy for Wes because this is what I always envisioned Denver or New England to be like Denver. I think one of you guys had said a couple of years back, I think it was Fred, that I used to call in about the wide receivers. You need some outside guys. And, Fred, I think you said you can't have it all. But I'm looking at the games now. Denver got it all. You got to defend the whole field. And if you notice, Wes Welker, you know, when Wes Welker was here in New England, he wasn't a problem, you know. It just means you had too much people that could always play in the middle of the field. We didn't have, like, a mixture. Now, if you look and notice that Wes Welker, he's in space. You know, he got to worry about getting them big hits that he used to get in New England. Because, you know, everything is tight. Because you got everybody's on the field. You got to defend. You got to respect.
That's true. I mean, Denver has it all right now, like the Patriots had it in 07. But, it's, you know, it'll be short-lived.
I'm talking about since they got rid of Moss. Because a lot of you guys used to say the offense is okay. And I said, no.
Yeah, that was me. I said that.
Yeah, you cannot win like that. Look at the Eagles. Even though they lost, because, by the way, they want to run Patrick Chung out of town right now. But even though the Eagles lost, man, they could score any time at will. And if you notice, Shady McCoy, he's in space. Deshaun is they'd be wide open. Because, again,
but the Eagles are going to have an 800 record at best this year.
Excuse me?
The Eagles are going to have an 800 record.
I'd take an 800 record.
You know,
when was the last time we had an 800 record?
I mean 500. I was thinking 8-8, and I said I said 800. They're going to have a 500 record at best.
Because they have a terrible defense.
Well, whatever.
They might have the worst defense in football.
And they're transitioning. They're in the first year under a new head coach.
He's got to get all his personnel. And it can be because of the offense.
There's been plenty of times when the Patriots' offense was as fun and crazy to watch as the Eagles' offense right now.
Absolutely.
And you could say they could do whatever they wanted. I mean, so let's
Fred's
not...
right. Not in 2007, they had it all.
But I think just even like since then, there's been times
when
they've
been on
us. And
to be good.
You watch games where Brady's like, he can do whatever he wants right now. He can literally do whatever he wants.
Yeah, they've absolutely.
So
they've had the best offense in football since 2007.
And they don't right now.
And they don't right now.
That's the bottom line. The personnel isn't there. Yes, and people are freaking out because they're not used to it.
Right.
They haven't seen struggles on offense for 6 years.
You want to know a sobering stat? Do you know there's one team in football that has punted more than Ryan Allen? Take a guess.
Jaguars. I think it was the team that had two.
Yeah, we're in that.
They've punted 19 times. The Patriots have punted 17.
We're in too many conversations with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now.
Absolutely, it's sobering. It really is. But they are 2-0.
Hits just keep on coming for the Falcons. The aforementioned rap sheet.
Crap.
Running back Steven Jackson may miss 2 to 4 weeks with a thigh issue.
Wow. Johnny's in L.A. Hey, Johnny.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
I got some sobering news for a couple of, or maybe more than a couple of your big fans out there.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I watched the game, all the games on Sunday with an old friend of yours, and it was Randy Moss, and he's not coming back.
Oh, okay.
He's not coming back. Randy was...
So you were literally with Randy Moss?
Yeah. We watched the games. He's friends with some of my buddies, and we watched the games on Sunday. And interesting guy, kind of first time I had met him. And he's not coming back to the New England Patriots. It was just really funny to see him, you know, to meet him in person, and to think about all the calls about Randy. And then, you know, next thing I know, he's got his face buried in a plate of wings, and he's shoveling down hamburgers, and I'm like, yeah, this guy's not coming back. pretty funny stuff there. Bigger guy than I thought he was. He's actually not quite as tall, but thicker guy than I thought. He's a big guy.
That's because he's burying his face in a plate of wings with you.
And also, remember, when you see him on Sunday, he's next to guys that are huge.
Right.
And he's a receiver, so...
Yeah, excellent point. But I just thought it was funny, so I figured I'd give you a call and let you know.
Now, did he partake in anything else while watching the games? Like I would envision that he would.
You know, not much. Not
if
much.
If he did,
all.
don't rat on.
Not herbal essence.
Oh no, I mean not at all. He was quiet and focused on the games and on his best behavior there.
Interesting. That's kind of a cool little experience you had.
Yeah. I go to a place to watch the games that's kind of like celebrity.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, didn't he say he loves Wild Wings? Is this Buffalo Wild Wings?
No. Okay. This is a private little a bar, and you know, it attracts some of those people, and I'm friends with a couple of people who are buddies with him, so it might be a, you know, hopefully it'll be a regular,
all right,
regular
cool
thing.
We'll be back. Good.
Keep us up. Now, what did he say about the Patriots receivers and Tommy Brady?
This is simple.
I, you know, I didn't really, because the Pats weren't playing,
right,
I didn't get into that too much. I think I'm going to see him multiple times throughout the year, so I figure the better I get to know him, then I can start, you know, filtering in some of these questions. But I didn't want to just be like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, and then just, you know, hit him with a barrage of Patriots
right
questions.
Right, because that would, yeah. But I do, if you get a chance, I do think it'd be interesting to see what he thinks of, A, the rookie receivers, and B, Brady dealing with it and yelling and all that kind of crap.
Yo, they can't handle my stuff, dog.
You know, it was
especially fun. Dobson. He's probably familiar with Dobson from
right.
Marshall.
Right.
Every time someone made a big catch, like Calvin Johnson had like a 70-yard touchdown, and I would just yelling like mockingly, like second best receiver in NFL history.
Oh, you suck up! Get off your knees.
See,
hey man,
I would have been the opposite. Wow, don't you wish you could run like that?
Wish you were as strong as he was.
Big.
Paulie, come on out here and watch a game with me. You, me, and Moss.
I actually liked Randy Moss when he was here. He didn't talk to us very much, but when he did, it was very entertaining.
Yep. He's a quiet guy. He did not say a whole lot.
I'm surprised when you went to talk to him, he didn't say, three questions.
Yeah. How you doing?
That's one. That's one.
Well, when you're introduced to somebody through a friend, it kind of puts them at ease that you're not some random.
No,
jack.
I know. Yeah. Right. I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Randy was a pretty interesting guy.
Yep. But all right. Well, that was that. I just thought that'd give you a laugh. If it comes up throughout the year, I'll let you guys.
Okay.
I'll let you guys know.
Cool. Enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Just back to Welker for a minute.
Yeah.
The guy, was it him? One of the callers just said they were rooting for him.
Yeah. Tyrone, I think, said that.
I don't know if anybody noticed, but he tweeted out during the game about Edelman killing it, or my boy killing it or something. That's why I'm rooting for him. I think he's a good guy.
Edelman had like 8 or 9 or 10 catches, and all of a sudden, Andy and I sitting there, and a tweet from Wes Welker pops up about Edelman.
That's cool.
Just killing it.
Good
and,
guy.
You know, rooting for my boy, whatever, or something like that.
He is a good guy.
Now, at the end, it said Brady, ha ha, but that was just, you know, weird.
Someone hacked his account.
And things like that.
Let's go to Michelle in Florida. Hey,
that'd
Michelle.
Be great if you tweeted.
Oh, hi, guys. It's brutal down here. Brutal.
It smells?
No, it's just, you know, right in the middle of dolphin country here.
Oh, they must be excited.
Just, huh?
They must be excited.
Oh, it's brutal. Listen, I'm such a diehard Patriots fan. I used to put my, you know, I still do. I put my garb on and I walk around like I own the joint, but... I mean, it's just like these guys now, you know, they're 2-0 and they just think they're like Super Bowl bound. And I need some moral support.
Well, we're with you. They'll come crashing down.
Fred,
don't worry. They're not ready.
Michelle
oh
needs
God.
Some moral
and
support.
As far as Brady, I mean, I'm with him. Maybe I'm wrong to think like this, but damn, I mean, you got the best quarterback in the NFL. And what the hell is Belichick and Kraft thinking?
Oh, now that would be a different thing. Now I would be a little bit more with Brady.
But do you believe that some of this is just like misplaced anger?
Maybe.
And stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be what all the armchair psychologists think, is that this is all, you know, he's lashing out at Brady. I mean, at Belichick, that he won't do it publicly because he's, you know, he's too much of a team player and too classy. Well, I mean, I don't know why it's, you know, classy to show up your teammates, but not classy to sort of question as to what. But I agree with you on that, Michelle. There's no reason that this team should be in this situation.
But it's neither the time nor the place for it.
Oh, I mean, like I
Too
said,
late.
You know, I mean, these right here, like I said, at least you guys up there, if we lose a game, you guys got moral support. I mean, when we lose, when the Patriots lose down here, the phone's ringing off the wall, the texts are coming. I mean, it's brutal down here. And it's just,
Plus, they haven't had much chance
Michelle,
to stick it in your face,
I mean,
and now's their
it,
chance.
It just makes it that much
Plus,
sweeter
Michelle,
when they get
I mean,
knocked out.
You know, how... when was the last time you had to really take any static
right.
from them? I mean, really.
Right.
We've dominated for, what, 12 years?
But now it's a tie atop the AFC East. Yeah, it's just, who's the better quarterback, Tannehill or Brady?
Just go about your business that way. I mean, you can always fall back on the Fred Kirsch. I mean, I think it's worked out pretty well,
you know,
over the last 14 years.
Before it was like taking candy from a baby. Now they're teenagers, but you're still taking their candy eventually.
Yeah. Well,
and their girlfriend.
Give me a shout-out, guys,
that
when
so
we
hard?
Play the Dolphins.
Will do, Michelle.
All right, guys. Thanks for your support.
Thanks. Thanks, Michelle.
That said, awesome. I do have to admit that the Dolphins
two road wins to open the season, one in Indianapolis.
I think that,
that was a good win.
If I was a Dolphin fan, I'd be
excited too if I were a Miami fan. But I hate the Dolphins worse than I hate the Jets.
Today that you could lose the Dolphin division to the Dolphins.
No, I'm not any more worried. You know,
I'm a little more worried.
But I think the Dolphins are.
I actually thought they'd have a 2-game lead by now, and you know we're even. So even though I picked Miami to win both games,
Ed does not agree with Michelle about Tom Brady, and he sent this email to us, Felger. The Sports Hub, Tony Mazzarotti, and Carol Hardy.
In her own head.
He also gives his phone number, and he says and we can call him 24/7, 366. I don't know. Is this a leap year? Is there an extra? Okay.
Not this year, but.
Yeah.
But if it were, we can still call him that day.
Tom Brady is a coward. He should have quit the team when they didn't sign Welker. He has no balls. I would have told them, bring Welker back or I'm gone. He's a fool and a coward. His anger is directed at Belichick, and he is such a wimp he can't confront him.
Well, that's actually what Michelle thinks.
Right.
So that's what he adds. So
I mean, not that strongly, but she thinks that he's really upset with Belichick and Kraft for the situation.
The one thing I'll say about Brady is what we always say about Belichick, you know, the GM, the coach, you take the good, you take the bad, you take the whole package.
Absolutely.
Tom Brady, you take the whole package. He's a competitor to the nth degree. It's why he cries when he doesn't get drafted. It's why he throws Gatorade bottles. It's why he wins. It's why he spikes it in the snow. It's the good and the bad come from his internal competitive nature. And there are times when it's bad, I do think, but there are 99 times for every one of those that it's good.
Right. And that's who he is. Joe Montana was just as much a competitor, didn't do that kind of stuff, but different guys.
But you take the good and the bad.
Part of the stuff that Andy talked about is a large part of the reason why I thought the way I thought coming into the season, and I still think it's going to get better. I mean, I think it's going to get a lot better.
Can't
get worse. It's going to get a lot better.
Are we going to be 35th in completion percentage?
But that's part of the reason why I had so much faith is because I know how he is and I know how competitive he is. He's not going to go out there and be the quarterback of a 7-9 team. I mean, it's just not going to happen. He's not going to allow it. He'll figure out a way.
So much. My husband cannot throw the ball and catch it too.
That was my favorite tweet of the game, by the way, Fred.
It was closer.
You know, when it became apparent that, you know, Tom wasn't getting a whole lot of help during the course of the Jets game, somebody tweeted, and I apologize for not remembering who it was, but in parentheses it said, in high-pitched Brazilian accent, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch it too.
But that's the one flaw.
I just don't think that it'll allow it to happen. It's just like, could it get any worse? But they won both games.
Yeah, but the competition's going to get a lot better.
Not every week.
But a lot of the weeks.
You got another week like this that you could do the same thing you did last week and win again.
And then you go 3-3.
And then you got Cleveland actually later on. And then you got the Jets and Bills again. And all of a sudden you're up to 7, 8, 9 wins. Yeah. Like, I don't see
Except
them.
The Dolphins beat you twice. Now you're up to 9 losses.
I didn't get to the Dolphins.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, right?
That's 7 wins you got.
Yeah. I don't see them
7-9.
I don't see them losing to every single team. You know, that Pittsburgh Steelers team I watched last night isn't going to beat the Patriots.
That's a good point. With fat leg Dwyer.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world says, Fred, this is the most exciting preseason I can remember. Just one more game and we can start the season. let's see. John in Kentucky, just for the record, I'm a Bears fan, just trying to get perspective. Who do you think is the most valuable rookie, and what are the key things they need to do in order to excel with the team?
The most valuable rookie after 2 weeks?
In the National Football League or here?
I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
He's a Bear fan.
He's a Bear fan, though.
Perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. DeAndre Hopkins has had two good games.
That's
Houston. I mean,
EJ Manuel. Booger of being 2-0.
A booger.
Thing that people say around me. Sea hair?
Yeah, no.
Oh, wow. What? Who says that to you?
I say that sometimes.
That's a sea rabbit.
But that's off.
It's a rabbit like a sea horse. It's a sea hare.
That's off the air. I say that off the air.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes Dan puts it on the
air. Yeah, it was.
I'll laugh my ass off if there's really a sea hare.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee says, after seeing the continuation of the Thursday Night Horror Show across the league this weekend, did the good teams play that bad? Or did the bad teams play better than we thought they were?
I don't know. Tell me who the good and bad teams are. The league sucks.
Yeah, who are we talking about?
I don't know. I think Seattle showed people who they are who we thought they were.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. at home.
I still have my doubts about them as
they won a game on the road.
No, I know, but they are a magnificently greater team at home than they are on the road.
And I will even say that they didn't do anything offensively in that game. Their defense is pretty good.
No, but I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you know, West Coast team coming to the East Coast, they have
no, I mean, the game that they won against San Francisco. They did nothing really against San Francisco offensively.
Well, that's a tough division game, though, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, that was
a dog fight.
29-3. I mean, I don't care. San Francisco's a good team. When you throttle a team like San Francisco that thoroughly, I don't care if it's all defensive points or special teams or whatever, that's impressive. That was an impressive win Sunday.
That could have been a dogfight if San Fran showed up.
Yeah. Now, if he was talking about the most important Patriots rookie, who's that?
Who is the most important Patriots rookie? Well, to me, it's
Ryan Allen.
That was good.
I mean, it has to be Dobson, right?
Well, you could say Tompkins.
Yeah.
Tompkins has been ahead of him the whole time.
But one
They've
of those guys
have
to emerge,
times.
Right? Wouldn't you say?
I actually agree with you. I think it's Dobson.
Yeah.
I think.
One of those guys have to emerge.
Yeah. Or at least one of them every week.
Right.
Can be a different one, but somebody every week.
TG and NJ says, hey, guys, by men, it still exists. It's down the street from me right now. I drive by it every day. Besides the corporate offices, they have an indoor arena with an ice rink and field for rugby. Wow.
Where is this?
I guess in New Jersey, because that's where TG and NJ is, right?
Unless he moved.
It's just down the street, Menin Arena in New Jersey. You can look it up.
By Menin. What? It's deodorant?
I guess they have all kind of
men's
products. Yeah. Football question. We've talked about this before, but are we seeing it again? Has Belichick, the GM, failed not only Belichick, the head coach, but the team itself, and of course, its quarterback? And if you agree, is this the worst job Belichick, the GM, has done to date?
I don't know if it's the worst job to date, but
I don't think it is.
I think there's – Paul and I have talked a little bit. I think there's a lot of bad luck involved.
Well, yeah, I mean
– timing, luck.
That's why I don't compare this to some other decisions they've made.
Unforeseen and unavoidable circumstances. You know, it's not just Hernandez, which is the craziest circumstance of the offseason. But it's also Gronkowski. Had he literally not had one of the infection bouts, he probably would have been back already. And if he's back already, this offense might look differently, and you'll actually feel 2-0 instead of feeling like, as I wanted to put for the cover, Patriots dropped to 2-0.
Right. All right. Food's here.
I love when Fred, the food is here, so he literally just shuts it off.
That's it. We'll be right back with more of your calls and emails. We've got a lot more to talk about.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio,
Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right. I think it's going to be a good acorn year. So I'll finally be able to use the Nut Wizard. So I haven't been able to use it since I got it. I haven't had a lot of acorns.
A lot of nuts in the air.
But I think they're going to produce this year, so we'll see.
What is the factor at play there?
What's that?
What's the factor at play with terms of?
He's been reading the farmers
acorn
almanac.
Production.
Yeah, I think it's cyclical.
Does the almanac have anything in there about the acorns?
I would imagine.
I'm sure there's something to do with the acorns, and it means X.
Well, the year that we did have a lot of those acorns, man, we also had a rodent, you know, mice, tons of mice all over the place.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
yeah, it's food.
And now this year, there's no mice.
Yeah, because they get nothing to eat.
Right, exactly.
But I meant more like if there's a lot of acorns in the fall, it means cold
get
winter,
a lot
hot winter, wet winter, yeah, dry winter, hurricane, something.
Who knows? Speaking of great moments, you know, often we do dreams here. Terry had an interesting one. He's in D.C. He said, just to mix things up from what I'm sure will be a string of doom and gloom emails regarding the anemic Patriots offense, I wanted to share a weird PFW dream that I had last night. Excuse me.
And a little gas that was in his belly.
Well, I want to get that out before I started. I was in Boston walking.
Be inappropriate during the middle of a dream.
I was in Boston walking down a side street with row houses and trees lining the sidewalk. I heard a rustling sound from behind a newspaper vending machine, and Fred stood up from behind it. Hello, Fred said. Fred, good to meet you. I'm a big fan of your work at PFW. What can I do for you? Well, I was actually just on my way to lunch. Fred lit up. I can help you with that. He stuffed his hand into his jeans pocket. The jeans were a bit tight on him. And he started rummaging around. I was weary, but he motioned for me to be patient. He pulled out a fistful of junk and asked me to hold it. I found myself holding a crumpled up dollar bill, some sticky chains, a few strands of hair, and a paper clip. Hold on, Fred said, before stuffing his hand back into his front jeans pocket. Ah, here it is, he said a moment later. He then produced a cannoli wrapped in newspaper. Someone had taken a bite out of it. He handed it off to me, but he saw that I wasn't interested. Come on, it's still good, he insisted. I then woke up, his parting words still ringing in my ears. Not sure what this means, but I leave it for you to break down. Thanks for the entertainment, even while I sleep.
Well, Eric, it's actually not a cannoli, right?
What?
His dream, Andy's saying, that the cannoli represents something else.
Oh, no, I meant when you said the singular is... Or
oh, cannolo, yeah.
Cannolo.
Cannolo is the singular.
Well, yeah, you did ask him to hold your junk and then gave him a cannoli, a cream-filled tubular... Yeah. I mean, clearly the guy wants
symbol.
You meat.
Yeah.
That's what you have in your mind.
The guy wants to get in your pants. That's very clear.
He's absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got to say, it was kind of obvious the way he worded the email.
I guess it is if that's what you think. Like, well, pumpkins have seeds, and we all know what, you know.
Man seed.
Right.
I mean, does every single dream have to be
for
related
him?
To sex?
Yeah.
That's what Freud said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never actually read Freud, but I think he's big into that.
Mike's in Florida. He says, if the young guys can't handle the quarterback and future Hall of Famer with 14 years in the league yelling, maybe we drafted the wrong players. Some may think the defense did well against two unheralded rookie quarterbacks. I see it differently. The interceptions in the Jets game were horrible throws, not great defensive plays. There were Jets receivers open all day. They dropped as many balls or more than we did. The run D has looked soft.
It didn't look soft in the opener. I just as a defense for the defense, I thought they played pretty well against Spiller.
We have, I believe, six first-rounders on defense. That's 55%, yet we still pretty much suck. Is it the players or the scheme? Has any defense taken more than 5 years to get better? If you started banging talking about having sex with his wife. Anyway, I don't care how many balls Welker catches with Denver. He will be on the field every week. It is close to a mortal sin, the talent we have surrounding Brady with. Please rank our top three wide receivers, not tight ends, against the rest of the league. Must be in the bottom five.
Yeah, I would assume.
So, but I don't know if the D stinks right now. You can't say that yet.
No. When they play a good offense... Then we'll know.
Then we'll be able to say that.
I really think people are jumping off the ledge here.
Well, I think they are too a little bit. I would say that I don't think the defense has been as encouraging as some people have made it out to be. And I think the emailer takes it a little bit too far. But, we were talking about this the other night. I agree that I thought the Jets had open receivers throughout that game that either Geno Smith couldn't get the ball to or they dropped it when he did get it to him. Buffalo, I thought the defense was a little better in Buffalo than it was against the Jets, even though the numbers didn't really indicate it. But overall, I think they played two rookie quarterbacks,
And I think if Doug Marrone had to do it over again, he would have done with E.J. Manuel what he did this past week against Carolina, just let him throw, and maybe they would have scored more points and could have been trouble in that one as well. Because I think that their decision to just, you know, run the ball into the middle of the line to try to run the clock out in the fourth quarter, you're not going to beat the Patriots doing that.
The Ace Ticket Hotline is 855-PATS-500. And let's go to it. Big Al's in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Good afternoon, boys. How you doing?
What's up?
Well, the sky, price of gas. Well, no, the price of gas is down.
Yeah, it is down. I've noticed that, and I'm enjoying it every time I fill up.
It's going down a little bit. Listen, the only thing that was missing Thursday night was Bill O'Brien to come over there and straighten Brady's attitude out.
Mm-hmm.
The last time. Now, basically, what Brady is doing, and this is my Dr. Phil, you know, analysis here. He's basically channeling his inner Dan Marino. Danny Marino used to like to do this. It used to drive me nuts. Part of an NFL quarterback's salary, and it's hard to know how much exactly the percentage is, but a part of what they get paid to do is to take the blame for stuff that's not their fault. That's part of their paycheck. And Dan Marino never figured that out. And he went to the Hall of Fame, so I mean, it's like it was a big negative, you know, overwhelmingly a negative on him. He still went to the Hall of Fame, but he never figured that out. And Brady, I thought, used to figure that out, but in recent years, I don't know, I'm less sure than I used to be. So I kind of wish Bill O'Brien was there, because we saw this before, at least in that situation with the young receiver at that time, Tyquan Underwood. He waited until he got over to the bench to irrationally blame his problems on Tyquan Underwood, which Bill O'Brien came over and straightened out. And I love the way Bill O'Brien did it. If you recall, he pulled the headset away from his head. Just a beautiful move by Bill O'Brien. If I ever meet the man, I'm going to shake his hand, because he pulled the headset away from his head as if to say, I'm not blocking you, TB. You got something to say? I got an ear right here. Give it to me. I got an ear right here. I'm not blocking you. I'm not leaving the headset on where I can't hear you, or I can claim that I can't hear you. I'm pulling the headset away. So bring it, TB. I'm right here.
Doesn't Al sound like he'd be fun to watch the game with?
Yes. I have a question for you, Al, though. Do you think...
Go for it.
You don't have to yell at me.
No, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm rolling.
Is Josh...
It's like John Belushi, you know, don't stop him. He's on a roll. Go ahead.
Is Josh McDaniels not doing it? Is that just his personality, or is it the case of he's too beholden to Tom Brady? He developed under Tom Brady, kind of, and became this offensive genius under Tom Brady. Why do you think McDaniels, you know, isn't or didn't do that, isn't capable of doing
it? I don't know. I don't know these people. I'm in Valdosta, Georgia, man. I got squirrels. I need the nut roller, you know?
Wizard.
I don't know these people. I just know what Wizard. I'm looking at on satellite. What I saw from Bill O'Brien, I really liked in that situation. And maybe Josh McDaniels is just, that's not his personality to do that. And if it's not, then, you know, God bless. But I'm not ripping Josh McDaniel. I'm building up Bill O'Brien.
And ripping Tom Brady a little.
And I'm ripping Tom Brady, yeah.
Correct.
Because he is turning into a whiny little twit. And it,
I thought you were
going to
go bitch
before our eyes. And you know, he just doesn't realize that part of what he gets paid to do is to suck it up and take the blame for stuff that isn't his fault. Now, what happens in the meeting rooms, or what happens behind the scenes, or if he wants to chew out a kid receiver, I mean, that's fine. That's none of my business. They've got to handle that internally, and I understand that.
That's part of his paycheck, too.
Mm-hmm.
He does need to do that.
Well, that is exactly. That's part of his paycheck, too. But also part of his paycheck is to suck it up and take the blame for things that are not his fault. And I thought he knew that, but evidently, you know, he's showing that he didn't. He missed Edelman early in the game. First series, Edelman was open deep, and he overthrew him because he has always struggled to throw a deep ball. And maybe that disappointed him that, you know, he hasn't improved in that area over the years. And he decided to just take it out on all the other the kid receivers for the rest of the game. I don't know.
So but when should we start the Ryan Mallett era?
I don't know. I don't think we should start the Ryan Mallett era. I think we should recognize that as good as TB12 is, he is not perfect, and he has flaws in his game. Number one, he can't throw a deep ball. And number two, he sucks first and goal inside the 10. First and goal inside the 10 is not his friend. You can go through these first two games. There's plenty of perfect examples of stuff blowing up first and goal inside the 10.
How about the last five years in that situation?
So this year, but what about all those other years?
Oh, there's plenty of examples going back 10 years. I could bore you to tears with examples of stuff with him blowing up first.
Remind me of this in
the
offseason when we have time.
I don't want to do it. I get frustrated.
I'm not accepting
and
that premise.
You guys don't have the time to listen to it all, but there's plenty of times when he's blown up first and goal inside the 10. That's why I was excited about Tim Tebow.
Because really, your credibility just got hacked off at the knees.
Have fun signing the petitions down there.
All right. Larry's in Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm still laughing. I remember life differently. Inside the 20, aren't that the highest?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
One of the best, anyway. Maybe not number one, but one of the best.
I'm Larry older than Dirk, so I could flash about something like that. But I'm not so worried about the receivers. When I was looking Sunday, Thursday, they seemed to be getting open. Like one that, in my mind, is Tom. They ran the wrong way, but he was wide open. Tom threw it to the sideline.
Well, maybe he was wide open because he ran the wrong way.
Because the DB read it so well that he was covering where.
Take a picture, and you could see he was getting open going way.
I thought that both Dobson and Tompkins in that game got open occasionally. Dobson especially surprised me because I haven't really seen that a lot, and I thought he did get open. Made a really, really nice double move down the sideline to run by the guy who got benched, Milliner. And Tom missed him. You know, and to Al's point, I agree with him on the deep balls. I don't think the deep balls were great throws. They both probably should have been caught. Tompkins diving in the end zone and Dobson sort of diving down the seam on the other side of the field. They both probably should have been caught, but I don't think they were put on him the way they should have been.
I don't disagree with that. But I, like I said, these guys, one has played one game, one has played two games in those guys.
They'll get better.
And I'm not worried yet. I think they will mature.
Yep.
Yeah, but part of why you're not worried is because they won two games. I mean, you certainly would be worried if they were 0-2 in the same performances.
It would be different if they were 0-2 right now. Yeah. It would be.
Yes, it would. I think it would. But I also have a thing about Freud's. Freud said one of his greatest quotes was, "Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar in a dream."
Okay, good to know.
There you go, Larry.
Not to Andy.
Yeah.
Because it's always on his mind.
Right.
Or to Bill Clinton.
Let's go to Keith in Florida. Hey, Keith.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Smelly.
What's up?
Are you there?
Yes, we are here.
Oh, sorry, I got a bad connection. Hey man, I'm calling you guys down in stinky Florida. I'm a little bit of a transplant from Western New England, and this time of year I really wish I was just there. But I got a question: where does the stinky thing come from?
Because the state you live in smells.
Andy thinks that Florida smells,
and that everybody is making gay references.
No. Don't muddy the waters here. Florida smells. Every time I've ever gone to Florida, I think the state smells. There's a strange, musty, mildewy, moist.
Sometimes there's a sulfuric smell in the water, but the state doesn't smell.
The state stinks.
You know, here's the thing. I noticed when I head back home up to you guys' neck of the woods, there's an air purity up there that we don't have down here for sure. But I don't think the whole state stinks.
No, it doesn't.
You're just used to it. I don't fault you. You've gotten used to it. It's like the neighbor who lives next to a manure farm. They get used to the odor sooner or later, but
never
the place still stinks.
When my parents had their house in Claremont, Florida.
Right,
it didn't smell there. That's all I can...
When you get close to Miami and close to Jacksonville, the state really starts to stink. But anywhere in between, you're pretty good.
Okay.
That's a pretty big area between Miami and Jacksonville.
Yeah. Exactly. That was my point. Well, I got a hypothetical for you guys. By the way, I'm a first time, long time, and I just recently took a gig where I work at home, so I'm going to be calling a lot more often. But
nice. How do I get one of those?
Yeah, especially on Sunday.
I know. Sorry about that. We're in a situation right now where we're 2-0, and we've won both games by very narrow margins over mediocre teams. Let me ask you guys this because I feel like you're good at it. What do you think would happen against the Bills
if the Bills all of a sudden decided to go over our head and score 30 points?
You'd have lost.
Is it possible that the Pats would have risen to the occasion, or do you think we would have fallen?
They
fallen.
Would have risen to the occasion.
they would have lost.
I think if they just had decided to throw the ball more often, they didn't throw the ball very much in the game period. I think they only had 27 throws. I think that to beat the Patriots, I think you need to throw first and then start to try to run the ball a little bit and then find your balance that way. And I don't think that they tried to do that very much.
But
and I agree with you over the top.
Patriots, what the Patriots would have done. Had the Bills thrown the ball and scored 31 points,
right.
What would the Patriots have done?
Yeah, and I'm saying they would have fallen.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
That's my point. I'm agreeing with you.
I know, but he wasn't talking about the Bills' offensive game. He's just saying they had thrown it and scored, and I think the Patriots could not have kept up.
There was enough
ineptitude on that passing attack.
Well, let's face it, they did nothing on offense. They did nothing but play it close to the vest and conservative, and they still almost eked it out.
Plus, in the time that Danny Amendola was on the sideline, you were giving up points.
If my memory serves, we never trailed in that game, right? So what I'm thinking maybe—
The Buffalo game or the Jets game?
No, the Patriots had to come from behind in the Buffalo game.
They won it on a field goal.
Okay, well, you know, either one of these games, to me, it seemed like it was basically the same game played twice. I mean, given the offensive effort or lack thereof and that kind of thing. But I was just thinking, because I'm not one of these fans that's ready to jump off a bridge, and I think the whole thing is stupid. And that's a kind of a separate question, is are all fans this way of all teams, or is it just the Patriots? I mean, are we just spoiled brats?
I think that, yes. I think a lot of the Patriots fans are spoiled brats. You know, they had such a meteoric rise and after being bad for so long. And once they got good, you know, they were cocky. They were cocky. And now
they were new money.
And now they know that everyone's gunning for them. All these people that they passed on the way up are waiting for them on the way down, and they're afraid
of
that.
But do you think the Patriots fans are defeatist?
No.
Do you think that they think that it's over right now? Because I don't.
I don't think
there's a jump off the bridge mentality right now with Patriots fans. Not like, say, like the Red Sox before they won the World Series. Right now, if the Red Sox didn't win in 04 and 07, right now, there'd be mass panic about the Red Sox in Boston.
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to blow it this year? I don't think Patriots fans have that. They don't have that fatalistic look at things. I think the Patriots fans think, kind of like I do, they'll get it worked out. They'll find a way to win 11 or 12
some
games,
do.
And they'll be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
Some do, but I also hear from the fans that are immediately turning their back to the whole thing. They're not going to be part of this. They're just disgusted with Bill Belichick.
But that's a very, very vocal minority.
They're vocal.
Right.
And I hope they're a minority.
They're annoying, and in my neck of the woods, we get a lot of detractors because, man, this is Dolphin country, and your previous caller is not wrong about that. The Dolphins fans, all of a sudden, they think they're the Seahawks, and it's crazy, and they like my mom, for whatever reason, is a Dolphins fan, and she just gives it to me. And I'm like, I love what you guys said earlier about taking candy from a baby and now just taking it from a teenager. And I'm going to steal that all day long next time I talk to her.
That was a good line, Freddie.
Beautiful analogy, and I really hope it turns out to be accurate. Because, I mean, they did win, they won twice on the road. Whoop-de-doo, I know. But I don't know, man. It seems to me like the Patriots fans that I encounter down here are all kind of like, well, if we didn't beat, the first two sort of terrible offenses by, like, a whole boatload of points, this team's in the gutter and all that. And it's just, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of moderate.
I can't stand that whole, rush to separate yourself. You know, even when players like LaDainian Tomlinson or Randy Moss, things weren't going well and, you separate yourself from your team. You're not going to be part of – things going bad. I hate those fans that do that. That, as soon as things start looking, they start, separating themselves from their team. I can't stand that.
I think maybe what you're talking about is more what I mean. And I think you're right. I think that's it. It's the separatists. It's like, as soon as something isn't just going to be an offensive maelstrom against another team, they just sit there and they, all of a sudden, there's no opinion. There's no anything. They just kind of turn away like, well, I got to wait and see attitude.
And I think it's cowardice. I really do, because
I just don't think there's a lot of it.
I think that, they don't want to have the letdown, so they're already preparing themselves by being.
Yeah, I know people what you're talking about. I just don't know a lot of them. Certainly not with the Patriots. I think it's the opposite.
Exactly, man.
They're yelling at us, we should look at these two wins as being great wins. Like, that cold, hard football facts telling us you've been looking for a street fight. Yeah, and when we win a street fight, I'll be excited about it. Right. I just didn't think that they won a street fight.
We beat up two girls in the first 2 weeks.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Small girls.
But I think you can.
Not like Nick Mangold's sister or anything.
I think you can admit that the team is a work in progress, you know, specifically the offense, and that right now they're going through troubles, and, you know, you can see where things might get better. You don't know without having to say it's over. Belichick's the worst
again,
GM that ever.
Who's saying it's over? I don't think there are I don't think there's a lot of people.
I want 10. I got my fingers.
No, okay,
all 10 of them are ready.
And even if you do read me 10 emails, I don't believe you have 10. I could read you 4,000.
I guarantee it's right here.
I could read you 4,000 others that are yelling at us for being too negative.
Well, they're not.
I think those people are the very, very broad minority. That's all I'm saying.
Well, those people aren't writing into this show at the moment.
Because who writes and who generally comments?
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
That's my point. I think Andy's got this dead on. I don't think there's a ton of those people out there.
Go.
There are some.
Come on.
There are some, but I don't think there are a lot of them.
I hope you're right. I mean, I hope you're right. I'm in kind of a jilted corner of the world.
Keith, it's a little different when you're down in enemy country.
Plus, your mother's giving it to you.
But you know what's funny is I used to live in Jacksonville, and up there, I mean, the way that team has performed, it's amazing that they have the exact opposite kind of fans. If you talk to true fans of the Jaguars, they don't care that you think that team shouldn't exist anymore or that you think it should exist in another city. And it's amazing, by and large, for whatever reason. I guess maybe just because they experienced a little success right at the front and then it fell off. And so they kind of had the exact opposite thing where the Patriots were bad for so long, then got good. The Jaguars just started off on a roll with the expansion of 94, 95, and then right after that, things just kind of tanked. Right now, that seems about as bad as it gets.
Yeah. All right, Keith. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Keith.
Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, quick shout out to PFW Elite Nation. Seems to be the only group of Pats fans that actually sees some hope in the season, you know, and wanted to sound off quickly. First of all, great show today. Love the stat comparison on Brady from the 06 season. I think that really speaks a lot of truth as to what's going on here, you know. And shout out to Pats Nation, you guys. Pump your brakes. You got to start seeing the forest through the trees here, you know. 2-0 in the division. You know, we won two games ugly, but, you know, we're learning how to win the close one again. You know, I don't want to see a cocky team come week 12, week 13. I want to see a team that's battle tested, even if it's through a few fairy teams that we just saw these last 2 weeks. You know, I want to see us win close games. I want these rookies to get the reps that they're getting right now. You know, we're without our top three offensive targets in Bareen, Amendola, and Gronk. You know, this Pats Nation flipping and being absolutely overspoiled from the last, you know, decade or whatnot. You know, I grew up in the 80s, and I'm here to tell you, when you watch those Pats,
this should look familiar to you then.
Absolutely glorious to be 2-0. And, you know, all I'm saying is that we don't have another division game for another 4 weeks. You know, we're going to see what we got in the next few weeks. But, you know, collectively, pump the brakes and understand, you know, right now we're atop the division, and, you know, we should feel lucky for that to some degree, but there's nowhere to go but up from here, you know. And
That's right.
And I just really want to put that out there to the fans to really calm down because you're pissing me off. And that's all I got, boys. You take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Chester. I agree with Chester. Pump the brakes.
Just find me those people that need to pump the brakes. That's all I'm asking for.
Oh, well, we got 10 of them coming. Go.
I would also say this. Why is it a good thing that we're winning close games? Why is that good?
Because you could be losing them.
No. But he said, I think it's good that we're winning close games.
It's better than losing close games.
But why is it good to win close games as opposed to winning blowouts?
The part I can't agree with is there's no place to go but up.
You have a much better competition on the horizon if
you play anything like this. You'll be 3-3 after six.
It's just like Miami. I would tell those people, you know, our Keith in Florida and Michelle earlier. It was Michelle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, ask those people where they're going to be in 3 weeks when they get done with Atlanta, New Orleans, and Baltimore.
Do you believe this next three weeks?
Do you believe this offense can get worse? The Patriots' offense?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
You think it can get worse?
Yes.
I mean, barring injury.
I think they can get worse, yeah.
I don't think it can get much worse.
I don't either.
I think they can get worse.
I think, you know, if you score in the low teens, you're going to lose these games against all the teams you're playing.
Let's see. Rick in Iowa says it's going to be a long year. I watched the entire Tampa Bay New Orleans game last Sunday. The Saints offense is far superior to the Patriots right now, and the Bucs held them to one touchdown and three field goals. I think the Pats lose to Tampa Bay on Sunday, and honestly, I think the Patriots finish the season with a record somewhere between 5-11 and 7-9.
There you go, Freddie. Now that's a guy that needs to pump the brakes.
The long era of Brady Belichick dominance is over. Bill Belichick, football coach, is a Hall of Famer. Bill Belichick, general manager, is not getting the job done. The problem isn't just Belichick. Belichick's reluctance to pay veterans what they're worth, or his inability to draft guys who can play in an NFL secondary. Even his hits in the drafts are really misses now. In the modern pass-happy basketball-on-grass NFL, Dont'a Hightower is a jag. A big linebacker with no speed, no quickness, no ability to cover backs and tight ends in pass coverage, and no special pass rushing skills.
That's what I said.
20 years ago, he would have been a very useful run-stuffing linebacker, but in today's NFL, he's a jag and a wasted first-round draft pick. On the bright side, at least Patriots fans can take solace in the fact that we're getting great value from having the 11th best punter in the league at the rookie minimum salary.
Yeah. Now, Fred, there's one on your side. That guy needs to slam on the brakes.
Freddie, I had my Twitter account hacked. Literally had it hacked.
What'd you send out and then want to retract?
Yeah.
No, no, literally, like all of my direct. Somebody sent me a message saying that, you know, those weight loss things. Like, hey, I just lost 10.
I got two of those yesterday.
I got somebody hacked into my account has been using that to send out. Like, all of my followers have direct messages from me.
Oh, really?
From that. So apologies to. All of you.
Well, why don't you tweet it out so they'll get it?
I did. Yeah, and I had to
change your password.
Yeah.
There's a thing now, Twitter, you can opt for a second type of credential. In addition to your password, there's another step that someone would have to go.
Secret question kind of thing?
It's beyond the question. I don't
know
what it
is. Name of your first dog?
It keeps people from hacking.
That happened to Michael Hawley yesterday on the air. He was sending tweets about weight loss things, and my phone was going off, and I was like, what is this?
What they do is they have these programs that just keep randomly doing, you know, passwords.
To try to get into your email, yeah.
Which is a lot of people's username, and then they just go from there.
But what do they get out of it?
I know.
Click on the link and send them money or whatever?
I guess if one person does it, you know.
Just seems like there'd be better ways to make money and put that intelligence and network to use.
Well, also, like,
why don't they just make up an account and send it?
Yeah, or why wouldn't you, like, I had it happen to me, and I was like, why would anybody want to do that to me? I have, like, 100 followers.
Right, but somebody as high profile as Eric should really take those steps to protect his account. What's so funny, Paul? Why?
He's choking on his Pepsi. Give him a minute.
Why do you let him talk to you like that?
Well, he's high him? Profile. What do you got, like 6,000 followers? That's a lot of people. Nick in Victoria.
How's your pledge to get to 10,000 going?
I'm still trying to get to 10,000.
Still trying to get to 3 pounds?
Know who's got the followers is Beetle. He's got like over 25,000.
He works for a real radio station, too.
And he tweets.
He tweets, yeah, that's true. That's fair.
And he does multiple sports. I think that gets you an easy way. Like, we only do football.
I told you when.
Except when Paul goes on a rant during like a Bruins.
During the Bruins playoffs, that's when I got all my followers.
Nick and Victoria, I'm sure by the time Fred reads this, you all have gone on at length about the sputtering offense, so I thought I'd throw out a suggestion. Since Spikes is in his last year and most likely won't be re-signed due to various reasons all of you have stated during the summer, why not try to trade him to a team that needs a good run defending linebacker for a decent veteran receiver? I know you'll say, but I haven't looked up who has the worst run D. Frankly, I'm writing this pretending to do work, so I'll leave it up to you guys who can get paid to know this stuff like this, or Paul can just say I'm another idiot fan and be done with the entire idea.
No.
I actually don't think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't think that's
You
idiotic.
Haven't played him that much in the first 2 weeks. If you could get a team that wanted to trade for him, even if you had to trade for, like, their free agent to be or something.
Right.
I'd take it. Who's the worst run defense in football?
I don't know.
Do they need a middle linebacker?
I don't know. But
okay.
if we want to sort of get on this, you know, on this topic a little bit, Andy's right. He doesn't play very much. And you wonder, is this yet another one of these deals where we're trying to squeeze a guy? Like,
coming off a very
good year. The whole we're doing what's in the best interest of the football team, this is sort of what we went into last year trying to do to Welker, if you recall.
Well,
You know, it didn't work out that way.
We don't know that for sure, do we?
Well, I know that he didn't start in week two, and he got very little action in week one.
Do we technically know for sure they were trying to put the squeeze on him to... that's a
circumstantially.
Theory. Theoretically.
Circumstantially, it appeared as if they were trying to put the squeeze
Maybe
on him.
Maybe they were trying to keep
now
him
Now you got
fresh.
A guy in spikes, as Andy just pointed out, coming off his best year last year, has been healthy and not playing a whole lot. Now, maybe this whole dehydration thing in the first game, something stemming from that, I don't know. But it seems odd to me that you don't really have linebackers that are any more suited to cover than he is. I would agree that he is not great in space and great coverage-wise, but I also agree with Andy's other point about linebackers in general. They're not really good at that. And I saw Mayo chasing all over the place the other day, not very well. And I saw Hightower get flattened on a scramble by Geno Smith, that he just got knocked down by a receiver, I think. You know, this big 270-pound presence. So why is Spikes the guy who's not playing more snaps than he? I'm not sure that, you know, maybe they're greasing the skids for him.
So you think they want him back?
At a lower rate. They get his playing time down. They get all those metrics that they sort of like to fall back on.
I like the idea of trading him.
Yeah, let's well, I don't think that's. I don't think that was outrageous.
Who's a free agent to be receiver that we can trade for?
Well,
Kenny Britt's in the doghouse or unhappy.
That's not a guy you
want. You don't
trade
want Kenny
for.
Britt.
No. Do you want to bring Kenny Britt in?
I don't know. Can he catch?
After our offseason, you want to bring in Kenny Britt? He got arrested 9 times in 2 years.
Oh, but he's behaved.
We brought Aqib Talib.
Lately, as in what?
I don't know.
That was before we had this thing, Talib. The brand damage, right? I mean, seriously, is Kenny Britt a guy that you would want to bring in?
No. You know what's good for the brand? Winning.
Chris with the TINs on the line.
I'm glad you
did
a lot of research and told me what was good for the brand.
Hey, guys, a couple of questions.
Yeah.
What concerns you more? The wide
receiver? Your mother.
Oh.
She's got that rash, and I hope it's not an STD.
Oh, see, now, that's not even...
Hold on a second. Don't put those back on. I'm not done with you yet.
Good job.
You want
to keep going, fat? Hey, Christian, I sent her the weight loss tweet too, but that was serious.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
What concerns us more?
The wife.
It's funny because he's fat.
Or their inability to run when they need to run.
The wide receivers. Because that's something that they had. That,
I agree with Fred. Yeah. Well, I just think it's more important to be able to throw the ball than it is to run it.
Yeah.
What? Why can't I just give my honest opinion?
I'm going to say the ability to run the football. Because in Fred's world.
Because he just wants to be contrarian.
No, because in Fred's world.
I'll laugh at him.
Where Gronk is going to be back and Amendola is going to be fine, I think, okay, we'll fill in the passing game.
Oh, yeah. But if right now.
Yes, if it's fine, then yeah. I want something else to go with it.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. But I'd like to be able to run the ball when I have Gronk and Amendola.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. If it's fine.
Plus, but then I won't be worried about the wide receiver.
Exactly. I'm already throwing the ball well. I'm not worried about that anymore.
When I have all my money, I won't be worried about paying bills.
I got the trade for you, Andy.
What do we got?
Jacksonville is 31st in run defense.
Okay.
So let's trade him to Jacksonville. You can send him home, you know, quasi home. And maybe we get like Cecil Shorts.
I take him. I don't think they would do it.
No?
No.
They're not going anywhere. Why not?
I thought you really had a trade for me.
Well, I could go for the 28th ranked run defense, but I'm not sure we can trade with ourselves.
What about the other guy that they hate?
Justin Black?
Blackman?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to trade him.
Paul. Well, I thought they were down on him. I thought they wanted to unload
him. I'm sure they're not happy that he got suspended to open the season.
Yeah, I thought they wanted to unload him.
That would not be a very good move for them.
And,
Washington is dead last in.
What's that, Christian?
Where's Jamie Collins, and why isn't he part of the defense?
Yeah, the situation has not called for him. Yeah.
What situation is that?
Good question.
I think it's odd, Christian, that they've played nickel so often and he's played so little. I thought that would be something that he'd be part of.
Yeah, I mean, all camp, they line him up all over on these different spots, and he was out there, you know, I mean, sometimes with the first string, but mostly with the second teams. And now he makes me sick to say it. He's like a corner.
Comes out though?
Well, they have shortened the bench. They've had a pretty short bench on defense.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that first game, remember we talked about only like 12 or 13 guys had tackles on defense. It was very un-Patriots-like.
Pretty
where
much
usually
been the case in both games.
So they've shortened it up a little bit, but maybe they've shortened it up because they don't think he's ready to play. That's
Hightower.
Sort of that.
If you're looking for someone to come out,
Hightower.
No, he's coming off his best game as a Patriot, Fred said. He's an impact linebacker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now I want to see if someone can go in and, you know,
make an impact. Here we go. Starkey. All right, Christian, thanks for
I just haven't seen anything out of Hightower, and I was as high on Hightower as anybody.
He had a really good game.
Okay, I'll take your
coach's grade very high.
Whoa. How did you see the coach's grade?
Now you've seen the coach's grade, and you're not sharing him with us?
Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Dan.
Got a couple of comments and then some questions. The first one is directed at Andy. Actually, the first two comments come out of the pregame social on Thursday night. First one is directed at Andy. I can't believe I haven't realized this before, but if you switch around the last two letters of Andy's last name, it spells Hater.
That's good.
Definitely was that on Thursday night, calling Brady Sook.
I didn't bring up the word Sookie. That was other people. I just ran with it.
Yeah.
You used it as a launching pad for a rant.
Well, after I learned the definition of Sookie, Tom Brady can be Sookie.
It's Sook.
Oh, Sook. Oh, go
I
Sook
still don't
yourself.
Even know what that is.
Once again, Andy's mastery of foreign accents showing through.
No. I'm sorry.
I was also. You had a lot of suggestions for Aussie beers. I was going to tell you which are the good beers and which are the bad beers, but then I realized you guys are from the country that drinks Budweiser and Miller's.
I don't.
Fred doesn't. He's an elitist.
I drink beer for its taste, unlike some people.
Fred's a beer snob, so you can tell him what to drink.
That would be me. I'm a Miller Lite guy.
Final comment is that Nico played, he's an underrated player. He, you know, was always working hard, making plays. And I don't think he gets recognition. But I had some questions. First question was, where was Washington on Thursday night? I mean, was the game plan on Thursday night to make Edelman do absolutely everything? He took all the returns, all the catches. Where was Washington? How come Washington wasn't returning some of the kicks?
Yeah, my only guess would be that he is still listed on the injury report with a thigh injury, and that maybe when they re-signed him just before that Buffalo game and he was inactive, that maybe the thigh injury had something
to do with it. That's my only thing, is that the injury is still...
But he did play. He was on offense. Yeah. I don't know the exact snap total, but he was on offense.
I mean, he was out there. He wasn't returning for some reason. Still on offense. Where was Boyce? I mean, they were doing a lot of long throws, and Boyce is theoretically the guy with the deep speed and the good hands. So where was he on all those plays?
Yeah, he was on the bench.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Bill just said they did what they thought was, you know, right at the time.
Week one was Tompkins. Yeah. Then week two, they rolled in Dobson a little bit. Week three, they're going to roll in Boyce a little bit more. It was working so well
the other night. They didn't want to disrupt it
roll
by putting
these
Boyce
guys in.
But the flaw in that is they rolled Boyce in week one and then eliminated him in week two. He played 15 snaps in week one, had a couple of balls thrown his way.
Yeah, a couple
then
of
he
balls.
Then he did nothing in week two.
I'll tell you the other
Wasn't
flaw
on the
in
field.
That. The offense sucked the first 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So if you had a plan... Scrap the plan and put Boyce in and see if he can do something.
They're building.
That's
building.
Stupid.
Building.
Stupid.
Building.
And just on the suckiness, what was the problem with Tompkins? Was it bad routes or not getting open, or was it just that he's now facing first-string defensive players?
I'd say it's bad routes mostly.
Well, yeah, I think it's the last thing. I think he showed an inability, certainly in Buffalo, to get away from McKelvin. That was striking to me.
Okay.
And McKelvin's not a very good cover corner.
And final question is, was Edelman's performance Welker-esque or Welker-ish?
Ish. Ish.
I thought that would be the answer.
I'd say neither.
Yeah, I would say neither, too. And I don't think that much of Welker, as you guys know.
Yeah, what's less than loose change?
6 yards of catch.
A hay penny?
Lint.
All right.
Lint.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, but that's a good answer.
Welker did it with a supporting cast. Edelman's doing it being the guy, the only guy.
What's it? What did he do?
Leading a team in catches and getting first downs.
Now I agree with Paul. By definition, somebody has to do the last thing.
He didn't get first downs. That's where I would separate Amendola. Amendola in week one got all first downs. He was far more impressive in week one than Edelman
They'd
was
be
in week two.
They lost without Edelman, and he's the only guy the other team has to worry about.
Do they really worry?
Yeah, to a degree.
I think that if you asked every single defensive coordinator in football that he's going to get 13 catches every game for 78 yards, every one of them would say, sign me up now. I'll take it.
And without those 13 catches, the Patriots have no chance.
See, I would disagree with that. I don't think they scored on those drives.
No chance. Wayne's in Florida. Hey, Wayne.
Hello?
Hi, Wayne.
I wanted to make a comment. I heard on Mutt Maloney yesterday, they were talking about how Bill Belichick was unable to build through the draft like some other teams. They were comparing the Patriots to the 49ers or the Denver Broncos. Just wanted to say Bill Belichick don't get the same picks that the 49ers and the Broncos get because he's not a perennial loser every single year.
Sure. I'd also argue that Bill Belichick is built through the draft. A lot of the guys that play for this team, whether you think they are great or not or good or not, but the bulk of this team was drafted, right?
A very, very good draft.
The offensive line, the bulk of it is drafted. The tight ends were drafted. The defense, for whatever you think of Alphonso Dennard and Devin McCourty, they're draft picks.
Wolfork, Mayo,
Jones, right. Spikes, Hightower, right. They're all draft picks.
Right.
If you don't think they're good, that's a different question. But
I think
he built through the draft, and they went to the Super Bowl in the AFC title game. So it's been so terrible that they did what the other teams are doing. The Niners went to the AFC title game in the Super Bowl. It's the exact same thing in reverse.
Yeah, and if I was going to say that, but I would also add, some of those teams picked higher, but Bill also picked lower intentionally.
That's true.
No, I know.
He went down.
Starts out low and goes lower.
So I don't want to hear the complaints about they don't pick high enough.
Yeah, no.
Obviously,
but
they pick too high because he always wants to move down.
You don't think that if the Patriots have had the record of the 49ers in the early 2000s that Patrick Willis wouldn't be on the Patriots? If they had a chance to get Patrick Willis, he'd be on the Patriots. You know,
well, I don't know that, but
I do.
Okay. Maybe.
Belichick pretty much said that.
Well, when did he say that?
In one of his interviews,
he said he would have taken Patrick Willis in the draft.
He said that's the kind of player we would take.
My guess is he would have traded down and taken the guy from the Jets and said he's just as good a player, and we got him lower. Yeah. Who's that guy?
He might have said it about DeMarcus Ware. I'm not sure. It was one of those guys.
But I think it's very easy.
It's the same point.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to say.
He also would have taken Robert Gallery one overall.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he would. He was on record as saying
really?
Robert Gallery was phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. So he would have taken him. So we can all prove points with hindsight.
But well, I also had a question as well.
Okay.
We don't take those.
My question is, and I don't remember exact, but if I remember correctly, the last two times Bill Belichick has picked in the top 15 of the draft, has he not drafted potential or close to Hall of Fame type players? Example, Gerard Mayo and Richard Seymour?
Yeah, Richard Seymour is yes. Gerard Mayo, to me, is no.
I don't think Mayo goes into the Hall of Fame.
I don't think either of them
at this
will.
Point.
I don't think either one of them will go to the Hall of Fame, but you could make a. You could certainly
like
talk.
Borderline, you know?
You could talk about Seymour. You can't talk about Mayo. He's not even a Pro Bowler, is he? One time Pro Bowler?
No.
He's a Pro Bowler and an All Pro.
I don't know.
All right, thanks,
I'll be
Wayne.
Nice because right. I like him.
Thanks.
Yeah, I can feel the love.
I mean, he's not an all-pro caliber player. Certainly not a top 10.
He's replacing Ray Lewis on the right guard commercials. Or, no, what is that? Old Spice.
See, I think you guys underestimate Mayo. And
I think you grossly overestimate him.
I think that his...
He's not as good as Hightower. He's not coming off the best game.
I think his play is much more appreciated around the league than it is right here.
You might be true, because what's his name? Bill Polian blew him a couple of years ago. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
the next
not
Ray
good.
Okay.
Doug in Southern Oregon. Hey,
I can't
Doug.
Say he popped his cherry.
What's up?
I got a quick comment.
Why is every other caller
underwater?
I don't know. I've had static in my headphones all day anyway.
Go ahead.
It's
I'm
just
sorry,
in your
Doug.
Head.
It might be. Voices in my head.
Would Brady be the first one to praise these receivers? Like when they're catching touchdown passes, things like that. I think it's just his passion is.
Well, who wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
Like, what quarterback wouldn't praise his receivers if they were playing great?
Cutler.
Oh, come on.
No, but you did see.
I think he's a douche.
That was a great throw by me, wasn't it?
I think what Doug is talking about is, like, for example, last year when Brandon Lloyd was having all his trouble and he finally broke through and had the touchdown, Brady was, like, exuberant. Like, that's what we got you for, you know.
That was Ocho when his one catch
was Ocho
in the Super Bowl.
It was also Brandon Lloyd. I mean, you know, he was crazy about it.
Never remember him.
I don't think they actually introduced themselves.
Yeah,
I'm not sure they knew each other.
I don't think he likes Lloyd, and I'm with
him. Doug's point is, you know, he's just as exuberant on the other side as he is.
He is.
Yeah, but
yeah, Grambo and headbutting people, I agree.
But my argument is, and I totally agree that that's the way he is when things are going well, but my argument is, who isn't like that when things are going well?
Well, there are some quarterbacks
that expect it. But not all of them, you know, call their guys on the carpet in front of everybody when things aren't going well.
But there are some quarterbacks who are less than exuberant.
Brady's always done that.
Remember what he called the offensive lineman, fat cows? He's emotional. What do you want from him?
If this was a problem, would this be something that Belichick should be addressing?
It's yes. not a problem.
Privately with, and do you think maybe he had done that?
Yep.
Why do you say things so definitively all the time?
It's not a problem.
How do you know?
I just know.
But if it were, Belichick and Brady talk all the time. He would say, hey, why don't we pump the brakes on your emotion out there?
The one question I do have is about what you guys think about this year's offensive line and how we've done. I think Buffalo got to Brady several times, and that has always been the downfall of the Patriots, losing the big games when somebody's in Brady's face all the time. And I have questions about this offensive line this year.
Yeah, we all do, I think, in terms of living up to their value. And Fred said, you know, the one flaw with Fred's theory that they're a pass-blocking offensive line is in Buffalo, you faced a pretty normal blitz where they just send a defensive back through the B-gap and it led to runaway rushers.
Would that have been the case with guys running the same right routes and all that stuff? How much of that is because of who was going out for passes?
So now it's all Ken Brent Tompkins' fault. The whole offense, everything on offense, Ken Brent Tompkins' fault.
But it's going to be fine.
Right.
Poor Kendra.
All right, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You know, Paul wonders, where are all these people that have jumped off the ledge? Right here.
Wait a minute.
Nathan writes
You consider that guy having jumped off the ledge?
No, I'm considering you. I'm talking about you.
Oh, well, listen. I, in the first 5 minutes of the show, I said I'm not going to be a fraud. I thought everything was going to be fine on offense, and I've been wrong. I can't just back away from that.
But, you know.
It hasn't been fine. They've scored, 36 points in two games.
But you didn't know that they were going to have all these injuries and everything like that.
To me, they really only have one significant injury, and that's Amendola right now. I know Vereen had a great game in the first
Gronk.
Game, but I was expecting...
Yeah, Gronk.
No, Gronk, but I knew that. I knew he was out.
All right.
I'm talking about what I thought going into the season. And Amendola, I thought, would be a part of this right now, but they weren't effective with him.
Yeah, but we also
so I'm not putting it on injuries.
Vereen.
Yeah, but I didn't think he was going to do what he did in the first game. I thought he'd be a good complementary part of the offense.
Oh, I did. I thought he was a superstar.
Let's see. Nathan in Pomona, California writes in, I can't believe that we're 2-0 after the performance of the last two games. Why is Blunt taking kickoffs? I expected our special teams to play to be so much better than it is, and it looks fat, slow, and clumsy. Also, any chance of bringing back a veteran like Jenkins? Although he might be slow, being a veteran presence, he might know how to run a route or break one off on a specific type of
fat,
coverage.
Fat, slow, and crazy, and clumsy. Any chance we could bring back Jenkins?
It looks like Brady,
and we have a ton of drops. Let's bring back Jenkins.
Right.
It looks like Brady is ready to do some calculus while his receivers are learning addition out there. Is the safety being suspended from the Bucs for this game significant?
Yep.
I'm not familiar with the Bucs safety, but it's not like Brady would be able to take advantage of a banked-up secondary anyway.
What?
And lastly, could Amendola over Welker be a McDaniels thing? We seem to bring in his guys, and it doesn't seem to work out. Tebow, Salas, Amendola. I want that guy to call plays, not manage what players we get.
Well, Welker, there's a growing groundswell of that, by the way.
Yep.
But Welker was a McDaniels guy earlier.
Well, yeah. So the first time around,
yeah.
Kind of.
So it's not like he had, he's never met Wes Welker before.
Right. But he liked Amendola and Fells and Lloyd and Tebow and that fullback Larson.
Goldson, by the way, is he is appealing
job.
And he's asked for an expedited hearing. So there's a chance that could get heard this week, and maybe he does end up playing. But right now, he's suspended for a game.
John in South Carolina, Big Al is right in one respect. Brady is not a great deep ball thrower. He's still better than average. However, Al is absolutely nuts about Brady not being good on first and goal. In 2002, Brady went 24 out of 44, 183 yards and 3 interceptions. Antoine Smith, 13 for 75 yards. Troy Brown, 5 for 38. Deion Branch, 5 for 38. Givens, 3 for 22.
What does that mean?
We can have bad games, especially when we are redoing a large part of our team. As far as Brady not taking the heat, if you listen to him talking with the press, he is taking the heat. As far as not coddling the receivers, it didn't work with Ocho or Lloyd, so I'm okay with him getting a little mad this time. A reason to be happy we are winning tough games. I'm happy because second-rate high school offenses are not hanging 30-plus points on us when we go three and out more than ever. If this was the defense from 2012, do you think the defense would have allowed more points? How's that for some sunshine? And please ask Al what he thinks about Clemson now that they beat his punk Georgia team.
I actually don't think the last year's defense would have allowed any more points to the Jets because I think Clyde Gates still would have dropped the ball. All the plays were there. They just couldn't make them.
And by the way, it's different with veteran receivers and young receivers.
Yeah, that to me is, I wasn't going to, I think we spent enough time beating up on Brady today, but that to me is the difference.
Kind of falls in line with he doesn't have the cojones to,
exactly.
to go after anyone he feels that's equal or greater than him. He just goes after the bully. You know, he's a bully.
I picked on Private Santiago.
Sean from Denver, he says, hey, fellas and Eric, first off, let me say I can't stand temper tantrum Tom. It's just unbecoming. He's got to get himself together and cut out the woe is me attitude, and it will come together. On to the wide receivers. I've heard from others, and I agree, that Dobson was getting some separation. Do you agree there is some silver lining there?
Yes.
And as we all know, Edelman has the injury-prone tag himself. Do you think the Pats should be looking for a trade? Maybe someone like Kenny Britt that has fallen from grace with his current team but has a ton of talent. Paul
and
has
baggage.
No interest
I mean,
in Kenny Britt.
I would not take on Kenny Britt. I just think that's adding another bad guy when you're looking to get away from that sort of thing.
All right. Well,
I'd be worried to take on him.
There's a lot of emails I didn't get to, but John Rook is here with the Patriots playbook, and he will be able to get to them.
You'll get the jumping off the bridge guys.
All the jumping off the bridge guys.
We got about three there in the last 15 minutes, but Fred promised dozens.
Well, I didn't get to them all.
That's why I said you'll have a lot of jumping off the bridge.
Why are we having jumping off a bridge? I thought everything was good. You're 2-0.
That's basically what most people say.
He says sarcastically.
2-0.
He says sarcastically.
Dropped
the
2-0.
Yeah, I like that. That's actually.
We were going to use that.
Let me use it.
We were going to use that on the cover. How do you think that would have gone?
Patriots dropped to 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've gone real good upstairs.
No, Andy had it. That was gold. As soon as it came out, Andy.
I liked it.
I said that's the cover, but we can't use it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Defense reigns.
So what do you got?
Reigns what?
Supreme.
So, John, are you on the ledge, off the ledge, or firmly in your cubicle?
I'm firmly in my cubicle.
Yeah?
Yeah. Firmly in my cubicle. Consider the number of injuries. Consider everything else that's going on around the league.
Considering Texas University.
Yo, Mike, thank you very much for bringing that up, Fred. I figured that strippers might do that for me today, but no.
Are those new glasses?
They're stinky, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
They still like.
Yeah, you had them on last week.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
I didn't remember.
He showed the lights.
Like, they're like studded, diamond studded
on
the sides.
I know.
And I thought Gary Tangway had the weirdest glasses I've seen.
I thought those were knitters. I thought that was like, I don't know what that's for, but when I got them at the store, I thought it was just like one of those peel off things that you just peel off.
And you couldn't.
And I can't peel that off. So, yeah, I think they're a little queer, but other than that.
I think I saw Angela Lansbury wearing a pair of those.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for
murder,
that.
She wrote.
Murder, I think right. That's,
as Pat Summerall would say in 1979.
Murder, well, she wrote.
Nitpick, I'm ready. Okay. Big day for big day.
This should
John.
Be a good nitpicking day then, right?
Yeah. This is good day. I actually wish I could stay on the playbook.
All right, well, John's up next, and at 4 o'clock, for those of you needing help with your fantasy, the football champs are here at 4 to take all your questions and calls on your fantasy football league. All right, John, have a good show.
Yep.
As for us, we'll see you tomorrow.
I am the shadow and the smoke in your eyes. I am the ghost that hides in the night.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.